Blog Talk Radio.
You've been too long upon this mountain. It's time you journey to the sea. Sometimes the chest and your force compares. It's easier than trusting me. Some men only believe in as much as their eyes can see. And some men only believe in as much as the minds can see. For the Lord would say, believing's like conceiving. This child that you're receiving, a gift beyond your reason. It's more of what you need and less of what you know. It calls not to your mind, cries out to your soul. That mountain's burning in the sky to the heart of heaven. Without the fire, we'll never fly to the heart of heaven. From the heart of heaven, he's crying, lay it all down, lay it all down, lay it all down. For the heart of heaven, lay it all down, lay it all down, lay it all down. For the heart of heaven, he's crying, lay it.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. My God. We thank the Lord. Amen. For another live segment here on Kingdom Voices. Bless you all. Amen. I'm your host, Apostle L.A. Hill, coming to you live from Gary, Indiana. Glory be to God. This is Hill International Kingdom Ministries. Amen. As well as Kingdom First Ministries, USA Apostolic and Prophetic Churches. Praise God. Amen. We're certainly glad to be with you on today. Amen. We probably got one of the most controversial subjects almost ever. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I'm so excited about this particular subject on today. I believe the Lord is going to move in such an awesome way. Amen. And those that's been listening to Kingdom Voices, amen, and following our ministry from time past, you know that I've spoken on several occasions concerning whether or not a Christian can have a devil. Amen. So we're going to talk about that today. Amen. We're going to dive into a little bit deeper depths concerning this particular subject. Amen. Sort of bring some clarity. Amen. We're going to look at some scriptures. Amen. And we're just going to really begin to rightly divide the word of truth. Praise God. Amen. So again, I'm certainly excited about today's message. Amen. I might sound a little tired in my voice, amen, but y'all just bear with me, amen. It's been a really long week, amen, and we're pressing in to do some things here locally, amen, which I'll go ahead and announce at this time, amen. January 25th, 2009, praise God. January 25th, 2009, amen, will be right here in the Gary Maryville area, amen, at the Lee's Inn and Suites. and that's L-E-E-S, amen, Lees Inn and Suites, and that's at 6201 Opportunity Lane, right in Maryville, Indiana. Amen. If you want to get directions to the hotel, even for some of you that might want to just drive in and stay overnight, amen, just so you don't miss the service, amen, that phone number is 219-942-8555. Again, that's 219-942-8555. Amen. We'll be kicking off here locally, amen, and for the first 2 hours, from the hours from 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, amen, we'll be doing some intense apostolic and prophetic training. Anybody that's interested in any type of kingdom leadership training, amen. Now notice I said leadership, not leadership, but leadership. There's a difference now, amen. So we're looking to begin to infuse and empower the leaders of the city, amen, those that recognize the apostolic and prophetic abilities that's on their life, amen, and those that want to be a part of what God is doing, not only in the cities that you live in, but also in the earth. Praise God. So, again, January 25th, 2009, amen, we're going to kick that off now. Let me explain to you all this that's also listening. Amen, if you want to be a part of those teaching classes, is a $50 enrollment fee for an eight-week class. Now, some of y'all pay way more money to go to cemetery school. Oops, did I say cemetery school again? I'm sorry. Seminary school. Glory to God. Amen. You pay way more than $50 to attend seminary school. Amen. The $50 enrollment fee, amen, is just to help us to kind of cover the cost for the room. Amen. It's to ensure that you get materials. Amen. I have developed my own teaching manuals. Amen. And we also have that will be available. There'll be DVDs and CDs that'll be available. Amen. After the teaching has been complete. Amen. So we want to begin to empower and equip those that be a part of those classes, amen, and put some things into your hands so you can have continuous outpour of God's Spirit, amen. I believe that we're going to witness a time of great impartation, great revelation, amen. Quite a few things as the Lord will begin to move, amen, in those particular classes. So again, from the hours from 4 to 6, amen, beginning January 25th, we'll be doing some intense training and the apostolic and the prophetic, amen, any type of kingdom leadership training, amen, all the way from how to identify apostolic and prophetic ministries, amen, the emerging prophetess, that's right, I said the emerging prophetess, amen, very specific class, amen, we'll be doing a class on how to engage your church in the operations and the functions of the gifts of the Holy Spirit during your services. Amen. We'll do a training in that as well. Amen. And then also we'll be doing a training for deliverance. Amen. For street evangelism. Amen. There'll be so many things that'll be happening. Amen. I guarantee you can't get this type of teaching inside of a cemetery school. Oops, I'm sorry. I said it again. A seminary school. Glory to God. So we don't knock seminary schools. Praise God. I actually attend one myself. Amen. But there's something about when the Spirit of the Lord is in charge, amen, and you're being raised and groomed by the Spirit of God, and there's a release and an impartation from the things of God from somebody who has actually bathed their life in prayer, amen, it's been consumed by the power of God. Glory to God. So again, that's from the hours from 4 to 6. It's a $50 enrollment fee, 8-week class, amen. Anyone that is going to be a part of our network and those teachings, amen, we'll definitely put that credit toward your licensing or ordination as well, amen, as we begin to release that for the gifts, praise God. So that will be available. Now, there's a 50-people limit, amen, because the room only holds 50 people. So once we get the 50th person to sign up for the class, amen, we won't be able to take any more, amen. But again, there will be another 8-week class that will be coming up. I mean, it's only $50. You can't beat that. I mean, you get a CD for each class. You're looking at 8 CDs. You're looking at training manuals. You're looking at DVDs. Amen. And you're also looking at what you're going to gain from being empowered by the things of God. Amen. And I tell you, if you guys have heard some of the past teachings that I've done on the apostolic and the prophetic here on Blog Talk, these classes will be nothing like Blog Talk. I can guarantee you that. It'll be more intense. to be more thorough. Amen. We'll be covering more ground. We'll be dealing with so many different aspects of how to map out churches in the cities. Amen. How to assign local churches there, or give them their assignment. Amen. And how the churches should engage, how each local church should engage. What are their roles in the city? You know, you have churches that are assigned to worship. You have churches that have been assigned as gatekeepers of the cities. Amen. Then you have churches that have been assigned to deliverance. You have so many different roles that each local church will play in any given city, territory, or region. So we're going to be really dealing with that. Amen. We're going to be coming right out of the Word of God. Amen. And I tell you, it's going to be some intense training going forth. Amen. And our prayer is that we'll be able to stream live as well. So we'll be charging the same fee. Amen. And but those that's been a part of, again, that's already a part of our network, amen, and you're from afar off, amen, you're of course, so we'll give you a discount. Amen. But that's just going to help us with the cost for covering the live stream, the live feed, amen, from those classes. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. And we're looking to also develop new converts as well, amen, out of the midst of the services that will go forth from the hours of 6 to 7. Amen. We'll have unity, love, fellowship, and prayer. Amen. Where people can get together and just kind of talk, network with one another. Amen. Just get to know the other leaders in the city. Amen. As well. So that's for the like an hour break in between. Amen. And from the hours from 7 to 10, it'll be the preaching of the kingdom of God. Amen. Praise and worship services will go forth. Amen. So that'll be that first Sunday, which would be January the 25th, 2009. Amen, and we'll begin at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time. Now, from that point on, we'll be at the Leeds Inn every Saturday after that date. So the next date will be that January 31st, and then coming right around the corner to February the 7th, I want to say, and then so on and so on. So I may cancel the February 14th, being that is Valentine's Day. Amen, and some of the couples like to, excuse me, the married couples want to get together for that day, amen. So we might, and in regards to and for the respect for the married couples, we might cancel that particular service that night. But other than that, we're going to continue on every Saturday, amen. And until the Lord say different, glory to God. So if you need to get any more information, amen, just feel free to visit our websites. Just go to www.apostlelahill.com. Or you can also visit our church website at www.kingdomfirstministriesusa.com. Amen. And those that are looking to sign up for the classes, just go ahead and email me. Amen. Secure your spot. You don't have to actually pay the $50 up front. Amen. You can go ahead and secure your place. Amen. If you want to be involved, just go ahead and email me at apostlelahill@gmail.com. Amen. And we'll be more than happy to secure your place there so that you don't miss out on the classes. Praise God. Amen. So we got quite a few things coming up. Amen. We're going to be in Louisville, Kentucky on the first weekend as well of February. So we'll be down there. Amen. And then over to Ohio the next following month. Amen. And then we're looking to, I believe we're going to be in Detroit, Michigan. Amen. In the month of April. So, I'm not sure. Let's see, we got February, March. Yeah, I think we're going to be in Detroit in April. Amen. And then we're going to be down in North Carolina in the month of May. Amen. And we're looking to come down into Houston also in the next following month. So we do have a pretty tight schedule already. We're looking for God to really do some awesome things. Amen. We'll be holding some conferences here as well. Amen. I tell you, I'm excited about what the Lord is doing. Amen. God has been faithful. Amen. This is our year for manifestation, for greater release. Amen. I tell you, it's just awesome to know that we got the Lord our God on our side. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I tell you, today's message is going to be very controversial. Amen. I'm pretty sure that we'll probably get a lot of guests from Blog Talk that will stop by. They don't usually stop by and listen to Kingdom Voices. Amen. We may see some activity down in the chat room, but we bless the Lord for them anyhow. Amen. We just want to maintain let's say a believer's type etiquette, a Christian etiquette with the people of God. Amen. We want to maintain that love, amen, that respect for others. Because a lot of times people will come into the chat room and they will share their opinions, amen. And this is not an opinionated subject. This is a subject that definitely requires maturity. It requires us to be in some serious prayer, amen, and understand that just as much as there is a natural world, there is also a spiritual world, amen. And we're going to learn some things today, amen, outside of our traditional standpoint of just coming to the altar and having somebody to put a little oil on your head and maybe lay hands on you and then you walk away. No, we're gonna really talk about how to get some real, true deliverance today. Glory to God. Amen. And if it takes to preach this message in more than one segment, I'll definitely schedule a second part. Amen. But I believe the Lord is going to touch somebody today. Somebody's going to be set free and delivered by the power of God. Amen. As a result to listening to the word of the Lord that should go forth on today. Praise God. Amen. Amen. So we're going to definitely be I'm going to be releasing some information out there again within the next couple of months too. Amen. We're actually getting ready to launch our global network, amen, which is the Joseph Company Global Kingdom Alliance, amen. And that particular network, amen, is not just an organization, amen. It's only an organization in the sense that we do have to render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, amen. But this is a move of God, amen. The Lord has commanded us to assemble the global leaders, amen, and they begin to release the military catalyst. Amen. Y'all just let that statement just begin to sink down into your heart. Amen. Because it takes somebody that has a polemic message inside of them to understand exactly what I'm saying. Somebody that has the consuming power of God operating on the inside of their life. Somebody that's not afraid to engage in confrontation. Amen. When you think of that terminology, to assemble the global leaders and to release the military catalyst. See, we've gotten to the point now that we love you, amen, glory to God. But if you just a poop butt leader, amen, and you really don't have any get up and go about yourself, we don't really have time to sit and play with you, amen, and to entertain you. We're about our Father's business. The Bible says that the violent take it by force, amen, or we forcefully advance the kingdom. Amen. So we need people that are serious about the Father's business, those that are not afraid to ignite fires, amen, and to get the people mobilized and moving into and engaging into the positions where God has called them to be. Somebody that's not afraid to stand at the top of the tower, amen. The enemy might see you afar off, and they might try to snipe you, amen, or vice versa. You know, we need some people that are not afraid of teamwork. You know, a lot of people preach unity and they preach divine connections in the kingdom. But I guarantee you, when it's time to connect, when it's time to be to work as a team, they the first ones running. Amen. And we don't want to be involved. Amen. We love you. Glory to God. We praise God for you. But we don't have time to be involved with poop butt Christians. Amen. We need some people that know that got some get up and go about themselves, that are eager about the things of God, that are excited about moving in the direction that God wants them to move in, that's not afraid to engage in confrontation. Glory to God. So I tell you, we're in some exciting times right now. Again, we're going to be releasing that information. There is going to be an application, amen, to fill out, amen, and we're going to file that away. Let me share this with you. We're not no traditional network either. We're not charging people to be a part of this. Amen. We will bring you before the other teams of apostles and elders. Amen. And we will have a general meeting about whether or not we'll take you in. Amen. Because, again, we understand the importance of aligning ourselves with the remnant. Amen. But we will go before the Lord in prayer, amen, about you teaming up with us. We got work to do, saints. Amen. We got invitations to go overseas. Amen. To travel abroad. amen, we need to take teams with us. We need to take some people that are real about building this kingdom, amen, and not some people that's still slipping up in sin. Amen. You're still struggling with lust and rejection. No. This is why we have to teach messages like, can a Christian have a demon? Amen. Because some of y'all don't think that y'all got some, y'all, well, let me say what the old folks used to say. Some of y'all don't think y'all stuff stank. Glory to God. Some of y'all don't believe that you might have some issues going on in your life. Amen. So we have to deal with subjects like this. Amen. In the kingdom, amen, to get people a little stirred up, amen, and get people moving in the right direction, get you delivered and set free, cleaned up by the power of God. Amen. Amen. You hear us, we talk about this kingdom thing. You can't be kingdom and you don't know how to cast out devils. Amen. The Bible says when the kingdom of God is preached, signs and wonders follow. Well, let's look at some of the signs. The Bible says in my name, well, let me back up. Let me go back into the book of Mark. He says these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall you, number one, cast out devils. Come on, somebody. Amen. These are signs that follow believers. But if you're a believer and you don't have that one sign following you, then you might have to retract or regroup yourself and go back and track your steps over again and find out where you missed it. Amen. I encourage leaders all the time, as many times as people have come by this show, amen, every leader, amen, at some point or the other, you may need to get you some deliverance. Don't ever be ashamed to say that you're struggling with something. You might be dealing with some things in your marriage. You might be dealing with some things on your job. You might be dealing with some things with your children. You might be struggling with some personal issues that you can't seem to get right. Some of y'all might be repeating cycles over and over again. You might be constantly engaging in the same situations, and you know we've talked about that before, amen. Well, you might just need to get some deliverance. You have to allow yourself, and you have to admit in your heart that you have something that you're struggling with, and this is it's good to be free, amen. That's our number one priority, to be free. The Bible says, "Whom the Son sets free is free indeed," amen. And we know that deliverance is the children's bread. The Bible says when the Lord taught the disciples the Lord's Prayer, he said to give us this day our daily bread. So we're looking at that bread. There's deliverance there. Deliverance is the children's bread. Glory to God. So I'm real excited. Y'all can grab your Bibles, amen, because I'm going to go ahead and I'm gonna play a song here one more time, amen, and then we're going to come back, and then we're going to go through a series of scriptures today. As a matter of fact, I'm doing this particular topic today strictly without notes. As a matter of fact, very seldomly does the Lord allow me to teach from a book. Amen. But I felt led in my spirit. The Lord really kept charging me because I was really wrestling with it all week, whether or not I would put notes together for today. But the Lord said, no, son, go right to the book. Amen. We're going to be preaching from a book called the Deliverance Manual. Amen. And it's probably one of the first chapters in the book. Actually, it's page 2. Some of y'all might have it. It's a red book. It's a very large red book by Gene B. Moody down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. If you don't have it, amen, let me just say this again because I said this before. I don't recommend deliverance manuals to everybody. If you have never had any deliverance, if you have never had any training in deliverance, if you have never done any deliverance, if you've never been a part of a deliverance ministry, I don't recommend this material to you. What we do recommend is that you learn how to pray first. Amen. Learn how to be an intercessor. Learn how to fast. Learn how to do some basic things. Get some foundational teaching up under your belt before you move into this direction. Amen. But I do recommend for those that have been doing deliverance for years, if you don't have this book in your possession, this is some awesome material to have. Now, I will say, to a certain extent, some of this can be extreme. Amen. There's some information in here that is a little extreme, and you have to have a balance in your spirit and understand the difference between certain things when doing deliverance. You have to have wisdom, number one. Amen. And you have to have a keen sight for discerning of spirits. Amen. So I don't recommend it to everybody. I believe this information is also available off of demonbusters.com. Amen. So this information that I'm sharing with you is public information. Amen. And you can get a hold to it. But again, like I said, if you have never had any training in deliverance, I don't recommend this material. But we're going to deal with the basic parts of deliverance today as we talk about the aspects of demons that are or Christians that have demons. Glory to God. So I'm excited. I pray again, you guys go ahead and grab your Bibles. Amen. And we're going to go right into the word of the Lord. We're coming from the King James Version today. Amen, as always. And I believe that you're going to be blessed. Amen, as you allow the Lord to take you to the next level. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me just find another song here that I can play for you guys. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Thank you. My God, y'all know I love prophetic worship. Praise the Lord. Amen. That was a song by Rita Springer called Holy. Amen. That's an awesome song. Praise God. Amen. I want to welcome all the guests, too, real quickly. Amen. We have on the line, amen, callers from all over the country. Praise God. We bless the Lord for you. Amen. Including my apostolic dad, Apostle Witherspoon. Amen. We bless the Lord for him. Amen. A and I, all of the people down in the chat room, we thank God for you as well. Praise God. This is an awesome time in the church, y'all. I just bless the Lord. Amen. For all of you. Amen. And I'm going to go ahead and get into prayer. Amen. We're going to get right into the message. Again, you might, if you got your Bibles, go ahead and even grab a pen and a pad because you want to take notes on today. I want to encourage it. Amen. If you don't have anything to write on, you say, well, I'm riding right now, just give me a shout-out later on. Amen. And if you want me to email you the actual copy of today's lesson, amen, I believe, like I said, if it's on demonbusters.com, I could copy it and paste it. Or you can actually go and visit the site yourself. Amen, and I'll email it to you. Amen, I believe it's an awesome message. Amen, it's also a study guide, study material. Amen, so you'll know that you don't just walk into a place, amen, and assume that everybody got it together just because they say they're saved. Glory to God. Amen, so we're going to go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you right now, Father, for the words that shall go forth on today, God. We bless your name, and we acknowledge you in all of our ways as you shall direct our path, O God. And, Father, I pray now, Lord, as we begin to pray over every high place, God, Lord, you created the high places for your glory, and let not the enemy control any of the high places. We bind the prince of the power of the air, O God. We bind the powers of darkness that will control the airwaves and release filth, violence, and witchcraft through the media in the name of Jesus. We take authority over the princes of media or princes of media in the name of Jesus. We bind spiritual wickedness in high places. Lord, destroy the idols in high places. We pluck down the high places of the enemy. Oh, Father, oh, God, we are kings, and we break down the high places in the name of Jesus. We remove Nehushtan, previous moves of God that have become idols, from the high places. We remove the religious spirits from the high places, oh, God. Let the high place of Tophet be removed. Let your holy fire burn up the high places, oh, God. Let the high places of witchcraft be destroyed in the name of Jesus. Destroy all false worship in the high places, O God. Let the high places be purged through your anointing, O God. Remove every false ministry from their high places, O God. Remove all strange gods from the high places. Remove every satanic altar erected in the high places, O God. Let all high places established by any ungodly ruler be removed in the name of Jesus. Let all the high places of Baal be broken down. We prophesy to the ancient high places and dispose of the enemy, O God. Let righteous men with your wisdom sit in the high governmental places of our city and nation, O God. We will walk upon the high places. Let every high place of wickedness that has not been removed be removed now in the name of Jesus. Let us ride upon the high places of the earth, and let us eat the increase of the fields, and let us suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock, O God. Let all high places be built by that the places be built by our ancestors be removed, O God. Let not the high places or spiritual fathers, our spiritual fathers destroyed, be rebuilt, O God. Let the high places be desolate, O God. We tread upon the high places of the wicked, O God, and we break the power of any sacrifice done in these high places, O God. O Father, we walk in the spirit of Josiah to deal with the high places. Lord, open rivers in high places in the name of Jesus. Glory be to God. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father, for establishing, Father, for establishing your word, Lord, in our hearts, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for the manifestation of this word that shall go forth, Father, that shall deliver your people, that shall set your people free, Father. Let now, Father, let their deliverance from demons now be a sign that the kingdom of God has been preached on today, O God. In the name of Jesus, let miracles and wonders be done, Father, as people are being healed by the power of God, Father. Every spirit of infirmity we cast out now by the power of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name we pray. And we thank you, O God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Amen. Amen. That was a prayer out of the prayers that routed demons by Apostle John Eckhart. Glory to God. Amen. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be doing quite a bit of reading today. Amen. Because I want to share some things there. I believe there has been some leaders out there that have already pioneered in this particular area. That's why I believe the Lord is having me to teach from various materials. Amen. But there is another subject that I want to teach on in the days to come. Amen. I want to begin to deal with a spirit, amen, that has plagued many of the Afro-American communities for years. Amen. And that is the spirit of Molech. It's a murdering demon. Amen. So we're going to be doing a series on exposing witchcraft and murder in our cities in the segments to come. So y'all just keep your eyes open. Amen. I'll be posting that real soon. Amen. But today I want to talk about the aspects of deliverance. Amen. I'll share this. This is an apostolic definition for deliverance. So I'm going to share this information. Is deliverance is an important part of the apostolic ministry. Jesus gave the 12 power over unclean spirits before sending them out, which is in Matthew chapter 10. They were commanded to cast out devils. Deliverance is a sign that the kingdom of God has come. That's Matthew 12 and 28. The 70 also had power over demons. Casting out demons opens territories for the gospel. This is because demonic power in a region is challenged and overcome through deliverance. Apostolic churches will have strong deliverance ministries. People will not only be delivered, but they will be trained to cast out devils. Deliverance helps believers grow because demonic hindrances are removed. Deliverance is a miracle ministry. It is a part of the supernatural equipment of apostles and apostolic believers. The deliverance ministry of Jesus is what set him apart from the ministries that preceded him. There is no record of casting out demons in the Old Testament. Jesus came as the first apostle. He exercised authority over demons. He imparted this power to the 12 and then to the 70. This sign, casting out demons, shall follow every believer. Deliverance is a necessary component of apostolic ministry. This is especially true when people are rooted in the demonic through paganism, witchcraft, and idolatry. The ability to establish believers and churches in righteousness will depend on the level of deliverance in the apostles' ministry. The ability to pioneer and breakthrough into new territories will also depend on the level of deliverance in the apostles' ministry. Now, I want to share this real quickly before I really get off into some more studying. Amen. That's actually a terminology as actually by also Apostle John Eckhart. Amen. I remember when I first became acquainted with his particular ministry over in Chicago, Illinois. Amen. As a matter of fact, I used to be a member there. Amen. So I gained a lot of knowledge from being under that ministry for years. Amen. And one of the things that I learned is that as they began to launch forth in the church at large, there was a great movement for deliverance that went on there. As a matter of fact, you can still go there to this day. They actually have deliverance every Tuesday night. Many of the believers as well as non-believers will come on Tuesday nights, and you can actually get demons cast out. This is something that needs to be practiced also in all of our churches on a regular basis, where you can come and get you some deliverance. They do mass deliverance, and then they have a deliverance team as the people will come up and they will begin to pray for individuals. Back in the day, I remember in the early 70s, late 70s, as a matter of fact, I was just a little boy, amen, but I remember that in our city, there was an apostle here, Elder M.C. Bennett, amen, that used to do deliverance on a regular basis. As a matter of fact, our pastor at that time, Elder M.C. Bennett, he actually had learned, he was imparted into by the late A.A. Allen. Now, I don't know if any of you all know who that man of God is, but you can actually go and Google him. Matter of fact, you can go to my MySpace page, and you'll see a video on there by A.A. Allen. A.A. Allen was an awesome man of God. Amen. And he imparted into a lot of men and women of God in the earth. Amen. And I actually had an opportunity as a little boy to sit up under one of the leaders that came from him. Amen. And we saw great signs and wonders in our city when this man of God was alive. Amen. As a matter of fact, you can walk up into the church building to this day. You'll see crutches and wheelchairs, and people were healed from cancer. Immediately bones that had been broken, how they came back together. Amen. This was things that had occurred. A lot of it, miracles and instant healings and just being set free comes from being set free from demons. A lot of times pain is associated with a spirit, even if it's cancerous. It may be bagged up in your lungs. It may be bagged up in your colon. Those things are considered spirits of infirmity. These are demon spirits. So I want to help somebody today, because you might be listening. If you had to ever had the question on whether or not a Christian can have a devil, well, that's one number one thing right there. Can a Christian get cancer? Come on, somebody. Can a Christian get sick? Amen. Can all of these things occur inside of a Christian? Because anytime you see a believer stricken with a spirit of infirmity, that's a demon. That's a spirit that's not of God. That's something that we have to cast out. So we see how God will begin to move on his people, because he wants us to be delivered. He wants us to be set free. Amen. So we're going to look at some scriptures today. But the first thing I want to do is I want to confront some signals or some signs that give you to let you know whether or not you need deliverance or not. And so every believer that's listening under the sound of my voice, I want you to hear these things, because there's actually 20 of them here. And, again, I'm coming straight out the book. Amen. This was done by some people who've really labored in the things of God concerning deliverance. Amen. Leaders like myself, amen, have drawn from these teachings over the years. Amen. So I just want to share with you what I've learned. Amen. So here are some of the things that will give you some warning signals or let you know the possible need for deliverance. The following characteristics merit a closer look when they are pronounced, persistent, or recurrent over a period of time, or progressive, tending to become more rather than less extreme. Check yourself against these warnings. The following thumbnail descriptions of behavior can be a call for help. Number one, and y'all hear this clearly, I'm going to say some things, and you may be able to identify yourself, and you may not. We pray to God that you may not, but some of you may identify yourself. As a matter of fact, before I even begin to share that, you'll find here, you said, you'll find that most leaders, especially fivefold gift ministry leaders, whether bishops, clergy, reverends, I don't care who, you'll find that a lot of them have just as many demons as a person coming off the street. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know some of y'all eyeballs just got real big just from that statement. As a matter of fact, even some of the deliverance workers, you might have deliverance workers working the altar. They might have just as many demons. Yeah, let's share this. I'm going to read these things here. Number one, confused or disordered thinking. Loss of touch with reality, delusions, persistent or erroneous convictions in the face or of contrary evidence, hallucinations, disconnected speech. Now, let me share this, because there's a difference between having a vision and then hallucinating. Come on, somebody. You know, and you know, a lot of times I'll hear people, they'll say, well, how they had a dream. Hey, man, a lot of dreams are very symbolic, but not every dream that you will receive will come from God. Some dreams are very significant. Some people's dreams will play down some very spiritual specifics, as well as visions. Visions occur when you're very conscious, and then there are dreams that will occur when you're not so conscious, when you're asleep. Amen. So there's a difference there. But when you have hallucinations can occur by way of maybe you took some prescription drugs, maybe some illegal drugs. Or then again, it can come from strong delusion. Amen. And you know, we're living in the days where there's been strong delusion loosed in the earth. Amen. Because we got so many disobedient believers. They refuse to do what God tells them to do. So therefore, you'll find some that have become erroneous. Amen. And contrary to the evidence of the gospel. Amen. As opposed to adhering to the truth. and then they develop hallucinations. Number two is obsessions, absorption with a subject or idea to the exclusion of others, compulsions, uncontrollable urges. A lot of believers are like that. A lot of believers. Here, number three, inability to cope with minor problems, with daily routine. Number four, the difficulty in making, keeping friends, poor social skills, isolation, withdrawal from society, loner lifestyle. That right there is sad in itself. I mean, you got people that are like that become hermits or they become vagabonds. Certainly vagabond is a spirit, you know, people who can't keep friends. You might float from one person to the next. I know some folks in ministry right now. They'll switch up the names that they're accountable to in a minute. They'll be accountable to one group of people one day, and then all of a sudden they're not accountable to them no more. They go and be accountable to somebody else. And then when they fall out with them because they disagree with what they're doing, they go and be accountable to somebody else, and so on and so on. As a matter of fact, that I did part of that was in my teaching on the emerging prophetess. Amen. You'll find that you got those that will disconnect themselves for whatever reason whatsoever. That's not kingdom. God never intended for any type of division or exclusivism in the kingdom of God. People will disconnect themselves in a heartbeat because they disagree with what you're doing. The Bible says, what greater love did a man have than a lady on his life for a friend? Amen. That you have to begin to question the fruits of your spirit when you disconnect yourself from folks so quickly. Amen. Let's look at this one, number five here. A pattern of failure across the board, at school, at work, in sports, and in personal relationships. Now, you pay close attention to this because you guys know I just did that series on sexual sins. Now, a lot of times people who have personal relationship issues, and that may not always necessarily mean because they always continue to engage in a sexual sin. It could be any type of relationship. It could go back to, again, being with your boss. You might never be able to get along with your boss. And remember when we talked about that particular sin that will visit your generation or your bloodline, amen, when people have in your family may have engaged in a sin of incest, especially in the black community, we found that characteristics of those in our community, in the Afro-American community, having a difficulty adhering to the delegated authority. Same in church. Folks that won't submit to the spiritual delegated authority. Personal relationships, that is a pattern of failure. You might have been one person, one of those people that church hop. You can't stay committed to a local fellowship for more than several years. You might sit under one ministry for a couple of years, and as soon as you fall out with them, you're on your way to the next church, and then the next church, and then the next church. That's not good. Obviously, there's a pattern of failure across the board. I can guarantee you that you've probably been in so many different schools. You've probably moved around a lot. That's that vagabond spirit. Here, look at this one here. Number six, prolonged or severe depression, suicide threats and attempts. I can tell y'all right now, I used to deal with this as a teenager. I used to struggle with severe depression. And I even attempted suicide a couple of times. As a matter of fact, I was in my mid-20s when I attempted to commit suicide again. I put a 380 automatic to my head. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Apostle Hill did that. Oh, yeah. I struggled with depression. I had to get some devils cast out, y'all. Y'all don't want to hear me. I struggled with it. And this is after having been in ministry. Amen. I didn't prophesy. I didn't lay hands on the sick that they could recover. I cast out devils, amen, grew out legs and all that, amen. But I went through a period where I became very depressed, amen. You'll find that a lot of people that smoke a lot of marijuana, you'll find that they deal with depression strongly, amen. You even get some believers, take the Rastafarians, for instance. Come on, it's a whole movement right there. The Rastafarians. They will dialogue over discussions in the Word of God while smoking marijuana. These people suffer from severe depression. Amen. Look at number seven, immaturity, infantile behavior such as bedwetting, overdependence on the mother, excessive clinging as a child, continuing dependency in teens and even in their 20s. Failure to keep peace with peer groups. Here, watch this before I go into more explanation. Number 8, a series of physical ailments which do not run a typical course and or fail to respond to treatment. Look, it's some of y'all listening to me right now. Y'all have been bombarded with ailments in your body in the past year, two, maybe three, some even longer. Amen. And it's been continuous. The enemy has inflicted a spirit of infirmity on you. That's a demon spirit that needs to be cast out. A lot of times people that have struggled with high blood pressure, amen, I can tell you right now, the spirits that operate in the community of those that suffer from high blood pressure are anxiety, fear, amen. Some folks even go into depression, worry. All that stuff is associated. You know, these are things that have to be dealt with. Folks with diabetes, the same thing. You got those that have high cholesterol. Those that suffer with high cholesterol usually deal with spirits of anger and animosity and remorse. They're never happy. There's no joy of the Lord in their spirit. Come on, somebody, talk to me today. Glory to God. Here's number 9, neglect of personal hygiene, dishevelled and unsanitary surroundings, or exaggerated concern for order and for cleanliness. So here you got vice versa. You got somebody either that's just too clean or somebody that's just not clean at all, laziness. You know, my grandmother used to tell us, she said, boy, laziness will kill you. And there's so much truth behind that. If you lazy, it'll kill you. If you so lazy, you go in your own house and you throwing beer cans around or bottles, or you won't pick up stuff off the floor, eventually you're going to step on that and you might kill your fool self, as they say. You might fall over something and break your neck because you was too lazy to pick it up. Come on. You know, we got Christians, we got believers that won't clean their house. Too lazy to pick up after themselves. Half of them won't even take a bath. This is stuff that needs to be confronted in the church, y'all. I know I'm speaking kind of raw, but this is the truth. Amen. Number 10, difficulty adjusting to new people and places. Some folks are just so quiet all the time. Amen. Number 11, undue anxiety and worry, phobias, feelings of being persecuted. Now, this is associated, again, with probably strokes. You can see that right there. Undue anxiety and worry, phobias, feeling of being persecuted, or feeling you don't want to be rejected. Some people go through self-rejection, that they have a hard time forgiving themselves. I struggled with that myself personally some years ago. I had a hard time. I had done so much wrong to so many people and went to them and asked forgiveness. I forgot to ask myself to forgive me. And so I went through a season of self-rejection and feeling sorry for myself and not being able to get a grip on life, you know, always speaking bad about my own self. I was my worst enemy. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Come on. Here's another one. This is very common, both spiritually and naturally with Christians. Number 12, too much or too little sleep. Let me say that again. Too much or too little sleep. Y'all ain't going to admit you ain't getting enough sleep out there. This is another linkage to a spirit of anxiety, not being able to sleep, or vice versa, or too much sleep. Here, look at this. Number 13, excessive self-centeredness, indifference to other people's feelings, doings, ideas, lack of sympathy with another pain or need. Some people think it's all about them, me, myself, and I. They don't know that other folks deal with issues other than, in life just like they do. So their only concern is about what's going on with them. Don't y'all realize that we are now, the church is in a season where God is going to hold us accountable for how we treat the weak, how we develop a meek heart, and how we conduct ourselves with those that are in need. God is going to be specifically watching the way believers carry out. Yeah, you may not make a lot of money, but you might make a little bit more money than the next person. your next door neighbor, they might need something. They might need you to bless them. You could probably go and buy them a spaghetti meal so they can eat that the next night, or you might need to go and buy them just an extra blanket. Their heat might not be working too well in their home. You know, we're in a real cold season now, especially in the Midwest. Amen. There's something that God is going to require from you to do. Amen. But when you find yourself becoming excessive self-centeredness and indifference to other people's feelings, then you probably need some deliverance. Number 14 is substantial rapid weight gain or loss. There's another one of those either ors. Substantial rapid weight gain or loss. Number 15, muted, flat emotions, absence of anger, delighted, sorrowing reactions to stimuli, or inappropriate emotions, sharp, inexplicable mood swings. Here's another one. Silliness at serious moments, unpredictable tears. That's somebody that's just got an emotional wreck. You'll find so many believers that are emotional wrecks. They go from one extreme to the next. They happy one day and sad the next. I used to write poetry. Amen. I used to be one of those Renaissance guys. Amen. I liked to perform and live open mics. Amen. And hang out at the jazz clubs and do poetry. And some years ago, I wrote a poem called Melancholy. And I had wrote it from a sense of a believer having some spiritual issues and dealing with some demons. And I tell you, I wish I could find that poem. As a matter of fact, I'll probably dig it out before we end the program, and I'll share it. Amen. But that particular poem kind of tells you exactly what's going on here. I didn't realize that I was struggling with some spirits, amen, at the time, those melancholy spirits, and that's exactly what this type of person is. Amen. You happy one day and sad the next, up one day and down the next, and all kind of emotions going on inside of you. Amen. Here, let's look at another one here. Number 16. Negative self-image and outlook, inferiority complex, feelings of worthlessness. Excuse me. Number 17, frequent random changes of plans, inability to stick with the job, a school program, a living arrangement, failure to keep appointments, abide by decisions. It's another worse than a person who can't make up their mind. I tell you, I get vexed around people like that. If y'all one of those people that can't make up your mind, it's best for you to stay away from me. I can't stand when people can't make up their mind about what they want to do. Come on. Glory to God. Number 18, extreme aggressiveness, combativeness, hostility, violence, and rage, or exaggerated docility, lack of normal competitiveness, and self-assertion, refusal to confront avoidance or argument, somebody who avoids argument. You got a lot of people like that. Some people, especially if you're one of those ones that's been in a bad relationship, you don't really have the ability to engage in confrontation. You don't like to argue a lot. Your best thing you feel to do is to just go ahead and retreat. And then when you do decide, you might self-assert yourself. You might feel like you was right. You know, a lot of pride can kick in when a person comes like that. And we'll talk about that, too, in a minute, in a sense of pride. Amen. Number 19, risk-taking. If you're a risk-taker, a lot of y'all are in debt right now because you were a risk-taker at one point or the other. This is why you've been saved, why you've been calling yourself living for the Lord. You took some financial risk, some things that bound you up in your finances, and that's another area where you a signal where you may need some deliverance. And number 20 is lack of zest and enthusiasm, listlessness, sadness, mood habitually down, limited or missing sense of humor. Another one of those emotional things, one of the emotional problems. So these are some characteristics. These are just 20 of them. Amen. Mentioned in this book, I can guarantee you there's several many others. Amen. Y'all may have heard me say, the Bible says that the eyes are the window to the soul. You know, I've come into contact with believers. Amen. From the moment that I've come in contact with them and looked them straight in their eyes, I can tell if they're dealing with some type of demonic oppression. if there's some demon in operation. Amen. A lot of times, even when people begin to open up their mouth, I don't care how great of an apostle some people say they are, how great of a prophet, prophetess many believers are. You know, a lot of times, if there's some error going on in your life, if there's some things that are contrary to the word of God, amen, the Lord will reveal it to someone that's connected to your deliverance. Somehow, some kind of way, it's going to be exposed. Amen. And God will always give you space for repentance. Now, of course, some of you might be suppressing some things. A lot of believers, especially if you never had deliverance, or you just one of those religious church goers there from Sunday to Sunday, you might have suppressed some devils. I remember when I first got saved, amen, and then later on I began to step out in the ministry, I had suppressed the spirit. I suppressed the spirit of lust. Rather than get deliverance from the spirit of lust, that thing was suppressed down on the inside of me. And later on, it began to peep up when there were some issues in my previous marriage. I didn't know it at the time, but it did. The Bible says that the thing that you fear the most will come upon you. That very thing that you fear, and the very thing that I feared the most was cheating on my wife. And so that spirit of lust was still laying dormant down on the inside of me, and it began to peep itself up. And it began to expose itself. And next thing I know, I'm taking second looks. I'm looking at women walking by. And she looked real good to me. My God. And I'm saying things, and I'm engaging in conversations with them. That's why the Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. You got to watch your conversation. Let your conversation with someone outside of your marriage should be yay and nay. It shouldn't be nothing else. Unless your wife or your husband is present. And this is why you see a lot of people get caught up in lust and engaging in activity outside of their marriage that's not holy and of God. Come on, somebody. So let's look at some more things here. I want to go over some scriptures. As a matter of fact, if you can, flip your Bible over to the book of Matthew chapter 12. Amen. The book of Matthew chapter 12. We're just going to walk through the New Testament here. Now, I had read something, I believe that was the book by Apostle Eckhart, that mentioned that there's nowhere in the Old Testament where there was deliverance. Now, I was surprised after I had read that, but when I recall David and Saul, Saul had sent for David, and David began to play the harp, and he began to drive the devil out from Saul. Now, it doesn't necessarily say he cast out, but he drove the devil out by the playing of the guitar. Now, in the sense of deliverance, how we exercise deliverance in the new covenant, amen, there may be a difference there opposed to his explanation, amen. But I just thought I'd bring that. Again, go ahead and flip over to the book of Matthew, praise God. The book of Matthew chapter 12, glory to God. Again, I hope you all have your Bibles. Amen. Y'all pray for me. I'm dealing with a sinus infection right now, but I'm going to cast that devil out. Amen. My miracle is in my mantle today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The book of Matthew chapter 12, we're going to read verse 43 through 45. We're going to begin to answer some questions through the scriptures. Can a Christian have a demon? Amen. Book of Matthew chapter 12. Verse 43 through 45. Amen. It reads, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Now, if we will read any more parts of this portion of Matthew, we'll find that he was speaking to some believers. Amen. But this is a non-Christian delivered. In this particular reference of scripture we're reading, we're talking about a non-believer or a non-Christian being delivered. Now, let's look at another scripture. If you can, we're going to stay in the book of Matthew here. Just flip over to chapter 15. Glory be to God. Book of Matthew chapter 15. Amen. We're going to read verses 22 through 28. Book of Matthew chapter 15. and we're going to begin at verse 22. It says, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil, or sadly troubled by a demon." Verse 23 says, "But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us." Verse 24 says, "But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." See, now, look, pay close attention. Now, I want y'all to hear that clearly, because this is what Jesus said. Verse 24, he says, "But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." In other words, he's saying he ain't here just for the non-believers. He here for the believers too. Glory to God. Verse 25, "Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, Is it not meet to take the children's bread, deliverance, y'all, and to cast it to dogs?" Amen. "And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Verse 28, "Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." She got deliverance. Amen. I love how the Lord reiterates how it took an hour for her to get deliverance. Let me say something to y'all. For any of y'all that are exercising deliverance in your church, if you do deliverance at your church, amen, if you cast out devils, amen, let me share something with you. Oil on her forehead and her hands laid on you for about 5 minutes is not enough time. It's just not. That's religious. It's ceremonial. And it's just not going to work. It won't cut it. It took Jesus an hour to cast out some devils. We're gonna read that as we continue in the scriptures. But it took an hour for those demons to go. An hour. And I've done deliverance with some people, and it's taken us 2.5 hours to do deliverance, depending on how many devils they got. Some people are infested with devils, and so it will take time to call out all of those demons. And you have to spend time with them and labor with them when you're casting out devils. The casting out devils is nothing easy. It's not something that you just vicariously go to the local bookstore and get a bottle of blessed oil and put something on somebody's forehead. No, it don't work like that. You got to fast. You got to pray. The Bible says some of these come out only by fasting and praying. Come on. That's what's wrong with a lot of believers today. Don't nobody want to fast anymore. Don't nobody want to turn back that plate. Nobody want to spend any time on their face and praying before the Lord and seeking the face of God. Nobody wants to do that. Everybody wants to get in the scriptures or read somebody's book, amen, and then go around and try to see if they got the deepest revelation and how eloquent they can preach and how good they can say it, amen, and whether or not they can get people jumping and shouting, dancing to the beat of a drum. That's not God. That's not deliverance. That's ceremonial hogwash, religious rhetoric. It's a bunch of bull. We got people that are suffering in the body of Christ, people that sincerely need deliverance, people that are walking around hurting, and people that are angry, and people that are struggling with their with the things that are going on in the world today, worrying, and all types of things are happening. And all we worried about is whether or not we're going to be able to preach a good word to get the people to shout. Come on, that's not the actions of a believer. Here, let's look at this. The book of Mark, chapter 1. We're going to flip through the scriptures. I believe we're going to go through quite a few, and I'm going to read some more here. Book of Mark, chapter 1. Glory to God. Amen. I'm going to stop in a few minutes because I don't want to spend much time opening, you know, going through this. Like I said, I'll preach a second part if I have to. Amen. Book of Mark, chapter 1, and we're going to read verse 23 through 27. Mark, chapter 1, verse 23 through 27, it says, "And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out." Uh-oh, back up, y'all. What are you doing in the synagogue? A lot of believers not going to come up, or non-believers are going to hang around the synagogue. Let's come up in it. Let's look at it again. "And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out." Verse 24, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Excuse me. Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." Verse 25, and Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. Verse 27 says, and they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For what authority commanded he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him? Uh-oh. Did we just clarify some things for y'all? Can a Christian have a demon yet? Come on. Let's look at some, let's look at another scripture here. Let's go to verse 39. Glory to God. Verse 39. Let's read there. And we're going to go all the way to verse 32. Oh, sorry, 42. Verse 39 to 42. And it says, and he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. Did he say he was in the synagogue casting out devils? Come on, y'all. He's sitting up at the First Metropolitan Baptist Church of the Kojic and PAW, casting out devils. Amen. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. That sound like deliverance, y'all. Ha ha, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. So let's look at some things here, general things. Now watch this. There's nowhere in the Bible that says explicitly that a Christian can have a demon. But it does talk about believers having demons. Are you a believer? What is the difference? None. There's no difference. The multitudes that came to Jesus received deliverance. Some were bound to be believers. You can memorize the Bible and go to hell. That's just the truth, y'all. No part of the Bible is any good to you unless it is used. Head knowledge will not get you to heaven. It takes heart knowledge. Bible scholars can argue about theology until Jesus comes again and not settle the question of whether a Christian can have a demon. It takes experience. See, when you start casting demons out of people, you find that Christians not only have demons, but they have thousands of demons. In our years of ministry, we have worked with thousands of people, small groups to large groups. We found that the congregation could have many demons. Then the Lord started us working with pastors and their families. We found that the fivefold ministry also had almost as many demons as the congregation. Finally, the Lord had us to work with deliverance ministers. We found that they also had quite a few demons. We have seen leaders go into false doctrines. These can even be leaders that cast out demons. It appears that pride is their downfall. Pride is an abomination to God and is an active demonic area. So, you know, like we were saying before, now again, this is Gene Moody. Actually, this is he and his wife, amen, that authored this book, amen, that are talking about their years of deliverance experience. Amen. I can tell you in my years of deliverance experience, amen, I've seen people while doing deliverance, amen, where they're coughing up and spitting out so many demons, amen, that they body and the countenance of their face even begins to change. Some folks have literally sat in a chair getting deliverance and began to lose weight, amen, because of gluttonous spirits. Amen. We've seen people's eyes be opened, amen, as far as not having 20/20 vision, and their vision began to be corrected during deliverance. Folks have been set free, amen, as a result of having skin pigmentations and large breakouts over their body. So, you know, my years of deliverance, I've seen so many people being set free. I've seen people being healed from all types of sicknesses and diseases. Amen. I had prayed for a gentleman over out in Detroit, amen, that was stricken from an illness. Amen. And the Lord immediately set him free. As a matter of fact, the manifestation that came forth as the sign as him being delivered came as a result. We actually saw a demon spirit come from him. It whisked in the air. See, demons dwell in the midst of the air. So a lot of times when we begin to engage people in deliverance, we'll have them to sit down in a chair Amen. And then we'll pray a prayer over them. Amen. Covering them in the blood and surrendering them to the angels of the Lord. Amen. We'll have them to keep their eyes open. Amen. Because, again, the Bible says that the eyes are the windows to the soul. Amen. So we'll have them to keep their eyes open, and we'll have them to begin to exhale, blow out, to begin to blow out. Because, again, the demons dwell in the midst of the air. So we'll begin to call out those demons, amen, through word of knowledge. Amen. And it's usually a team that's present. Amen. Because sometimes you need more than one person to begin to call out those spirits. So we'll oftentimes have more than one person made available so that we can do that. Amen. Glory to God. So I'm not going to prolong the show. Amen. I'm going to open up the lines and give everybody an opportunity to talk. Amen. I want to stop right there for a minute because much of the information that we've already shared, I know it's got a lot of you already. Your wheels are turning. Amen. And there's so much more that I want to share. So I believe that I'm going to definitely come back with a second program, amen, and bring the people into a greater knowledge concerning how Christians can have demons, amen. So I'm going to play a song, amen. I'm going to open up the lines, amen. If you want to, feel free to call in. The phone number is 646-716-9487. Again, 646-716-9487. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Oh, you've been searching and looking in all the wrong places, but search no more. Love is here.
I had to write this song, cause the masses are mistaken. They confuse the word love with infatuation. It's sad, cause when we lack love, the wrong path is taken. They missing out, cause getting true love is past amazing. It's more than a passing statement, a short lasting craving. It ain't refusing after wait, it ain't mad impatience. Some been trying to find love in the guy, gal they dating. And before long, they hormones are vastly raging. Yeah, true love is a must, but that ain't love, it's lusting. Love will never ask you to do ungodly stuff. It's honest plus, it ain't wrong and hard to trust. It's everlasting and can't happen when the heart's corrupt. Resting on false love, you must realize you're plummy. Cause real love is much more than butterflies in your stomach. Most of us are out of line, cause really the bottom line is we looking for love, but ain't sure what we trying to find. Glorious, I'm sure we need some more, it's true. The world's confused and seems to have a distorted view. Boosting love's a sweet kiss, a nice statement in time. But don't know that love is sacred, it's patient and kind. It's not filled with sinful jealousy, doesn't brag and boast. It's priceless and can't be bought with a stack of dough. It's so true, it's not rude, it doesn't seek its own. It's selfless, I'm telling this because we need to know. It's not easily angered, keeps no record of wrongs. It forgives, it's a blessing, and forever it's strong. You don't delight in evil, but it likes the truth. It's liberating, never fading, and it's righteous too. I like for you to put love first in here. It always protects, always trust, hope the person is here.
Oh,
yeah.
You try to bless your vibe.
It's eternal, better than this other stuff, so let it in. Such an unusual experience, beyond expression. We need it, we gotta seek it. Your love is a blessing, utter perfection, but something most guys will lack. So the remaining real questions, where you find it at? I know you're wondering if you don't want to die and miss love. See Christ, cause the Bible said that God is love.
Right,
but God so loved the world, he would redeem you and me. It was love that made it bleed and cling to a tree. That's the truth. So without the sun, you lose and he shows up. And for that, there's no substitution. We try try to fill the void with things of our sorts, but let us stop settling for things of our short. He can be the lover of our souls, turn that to Christ, looking for love where true love is found in Christ.
Talking, just go ahead and hit your mute button on your phone, amen, so that we don't hear the background noise. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless all of you, amen, that are on the line today. Praise God. God bless you, Apostle Witherspoon. How are you?
Can you hear me, son?
Yes. How you doing, Dad?
I'm doing fine. How you feeling?
Good. Doing good. Amen.
Good. Dad's been doing a lot of traveling. I haven't had a chance to catch up with you. But I've been praying for you all the time.
Oh, yeah, I know. I know. Praise God.
Hello, amen. Everybody out there. Somebody say something. Are you out there? Somebody say hello.
Hello, Apostle.
How you
this
doing?
This is Devon. I'm from Atlanta. Yes, sir.
It's good to hear from you. God bless you.
God bless. Hello, Apostle, as well. This is Natalie Davis from Wisconsin.
Oh, God bless you. Glad to have you along.
Amen.
Hello, Pastor. J from Warner Robins, Georgia.
Oh, thank God. Thank God. Son, I was down near your town there just last week. I went to see some of the old elderly, some 80-year-old. I went and cooked for them and cleaned them up and spent some time with them and come back.
Oh, that's all right.
I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
This is quite a subject tonight, and we want to treat it very gingerly, because it is quite a subject when you start talking about casting out devils.
Uh-huh.
And when you start talking how many people in this world don't understand that many have not had any experience in the spirit realm, but yet they want the ministry of casting out devils.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times it's, like you say, there's a pride mixed up in it. And it's not that you can't deal with the ministry in the casting out of devils, because the Bible tells us in the book of Matthew's, the 7th chapter, it said, in the 7th chapter, in the 21st verse, he says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And many will say to me," in the 22nd verse, "many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful things." You see, even though we might cast out devils and do many wonderful things, we still have to do it in the right spirit.
Yeah.
And the 23rd verse, he said, "Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." You see, you can be, it's like my son is saying here, you could be in the church and living in iniquity and casting out devils.
Mm-hmm.
It's right there in this book we read.
Wow.
But it'll all be for naught. And literally casting devils out. You see that in that word?
Uh-huh.
Matthew 7, 21st through the 23rd verse, he said that they were casting out devils, prophesying in his name, and doing many wonderful works. You see, that's why I say you have to really teach, treat this subject very gingerly, because there are many people doing a lot of great things, but they never really came in right. They were never birthed out right.
Amen.
They lived in iniquity, yet things happen in their ministry. And there's a, if you start out the wrong way, you may start out with a mind of being great. And that great mind will take you into a depth of sin that you don't even understand. And then you have to confront God, and he'll tell you, I never knew you. That's a horrible thing.
That's
never
right.
Knew me? Never. You mean I never came to class? Never. That's a horrible place.
Yeah, it is.
You see, we have to be able to tell the world today, in our day, what it is God expects of us and where we should go as saints of God. And you definitely want to let people understand that God is looking for his children to do the deliverances, not just any and everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Because iniquity, folks, can cast out devils. You hear what my son is teaching? He's saying saints in the church with devils. We call ourselves saints all day long, and we actually full of the devil. This is something we got to live, and that spirit got to dwell in you.
Mm-hmm.
Because iniquity can cast out devils. We can do it. That's why over in the book of 1 John, in the 3rd chapter, the question, he said, what kind of love is this that you have bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God? God is looking at his son. These folks don't live in iniquity.
Mm-hmm.
You want to go on in God until you get out of iniquity. That's why David said, wash me, Lord. Go down in me and wash me real clean. Take all the junk out of me. Because I got to come to a place to where there is a love that you bestow upon us, that we should be called sons of God. He talked about 2009. We sons of God. Is somebody speaking?
No.
I know who that was. I put on mute. Hey, man. Go
is
ahead,
that, is that a spirit?
No, I think that was somebody in the background, a family. No,
oh,
you
I
okay?
See.
Go, yeah, go ahead.
I want you to follow what I'm saying here, saints, that we have to come to a life in God to where we can be called the sons of God. He said, and God, therefore the world knoweth us not. We're speaking from the 1 John, the 3rd chapter. We don't live like that. A lot of us don't. But we have to teach the people that salvation is something you got to go on until you become. It's just like what this word is telling us. We got to become the perfection of God.
That's right.
He said the world knoweth us not because it knew him now. We got to be just like Jesus. We can't just read about him and then become who we want to be. We got to be just like Jesus. He said, beloved, now are we the sons of God now? Not in heaven, but now. Now on the earth. People got to see you walking in righteousness, walking in it every day, talking in it. And see, devils are scared of you when you like that.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not afraid of iniquity, folks, because iniquity, folks, can cast them out. It's a trick of the devil. The devil know He knows just who to allow his demons to run out of somebody to fool somebody else. But iniquity people can cast devils out. And when you're not living right, because I don't see you, and you get somewhere else and you cursing folks out, and you doing all manner of evil, and then you go to church and put on your white robes and you get up there and you're casting out devils.
Mm-hmm.
That happened. It happened all the time. Mm-hmm. We call them church folk. That's what they're called, church folks.
Uh-huh.
But God got something he called his body, the body of Christ. These folks is not trying to practice sin. They ain't trying to practice iniquity. The devils are scared of them. Devils will see them in services and say, I know who you are. Didn't that spirit walk up on Jesus and say that?
So did.
Say, you the Son of God. See, these devils that we live with today in 2009, they got to be able to see him in you to the point that they say, I know who y'all are. Y'all them saints. But when we live like they live, when we look like they look, we act like they act, a devil ain't scared of you. You tell him to come out, he'll tell you to come out.
Wow. My God.
We have to eat the word, not just read it. We got to eat this. Am I striving to become just like him? Because it says here in the third chapter, let's go back to that second verse. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And then he said, everyone that have this hope of seeing him as he is and being like him when he appear, everyone that have this hope in him, he purifies himself. He don't live in iniquity.
That's right.
Saints got to learn what it means that you got to get rid of the devil. Get rid of him. Not play with him. Not no live above sin. You got to live without it.
My God. You
and
know
the
what,
devil's,
Pastor,
go ahead, son.
I was going to say that remind me of them old folks used to tell us. They say when you resist the devil, he'll flee from you. And that's the
right.
word. And
that's
a lot
right.
of times when you recognize there's something in your life that is contrary to holiness and you know you're struggling with something, you got to now resist the devil. Because if you don't resist him, he won't flee.
See, the reason is he know when he living in your house.
Uh-huh.
Where is that scripture you read, son? Go back. I think you read it. It was in Matthew's, but there's another one also in Luke 11. When an unclean spirit go out, is casted out of a man. It says
uh-huh.
it. Now picture this in your understanding. When an unclean spirit is casted out of a man, it don't die. It goes out into dry places, and it stays out there, and it's not comfortable. It can't rest. Because its resting place has got to be inside of a man's body. It's a spirit.
Yeah, that's right.
And
it'll go out.
Go ahead, son.
I got the scripture right here. It's in Mark Anderson, Luke, but I'm going to read it from Luke. It's
okay.
Luke chapter 11, verse 24. It says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking
rest.
Wait
right there. Stop right there. Look at this. This spirit is not somewhere stopped in a prison. It's walking around. It's seeking something. It's seeking a place to rest. But this spirit was casted out of you.
Mm-hmm.
And then what did he say?
And finding none.
He can't even find a resting place because he got to have a body in order to rest in. But he's outside of a body now, been casted out. And he in dry places somewhere seeking a place that he can rest. It's a spirit, unclean or whatever, a little thieving, lying, hypocrite, don't know what it was. But it don't like where he's at. What'd he say?
And he said, I will return unto my house once I came out.
No. Wait, did he call that house his house?
Yes, he did.
He claimed your house. Your body was his. He got just as much right to live in your body as you do, as long as you don't believe what Christ has done for you.
My God.
As long as we don't believe Christ came and gave his life to deliver us from any devil living in this body. As long as I don't believe that, we could go before God and argue the point in court. And God will ask you, do you believe what Christ did for you? Because, you know, confessing with your mouth is one thing. Believing in your heart is another. You believe that he actually got up out the grave for you? If you believe that, that devil cannot live back in your body because your belief ain't going to let him.
That's right.
But if you don't believe that, you just religious. You just go to church because you like the music. You like how they sound. You like the preacher's voice that he, you know, he take and go up with the music in there and make us all happy. If that's all you got, that devil can live in your house because he said, I'm going back to my house. That ain't your house. He claimed it just like you say you claimed it.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and he's going to come back to his house, and he ain't coming by himself.
Sure ain't. He a bold. He a bold.
He going to come back with some friends. And they not going to ask you, knock, 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 can we come in? They invaders. The demons are invaders. They don't ask you, can I come in your house?
Mm-hmm.
Pastor Hill, you think we could come in and set up camp in your house? They're not going to ask you that.
No.
They're going to come in. They're going to bogart the front door.
My God.
But the first thing they did was they knocked. They knocked. Knock, knock, knock. And they saw it wasn't the Holy Ghost answering the door. Your mind was still in that house. It was clean. But your mind was in there. You didn't go on to the Holy Spirit. You didn't go on and live in obedience to the word until the Holy Spirit came in and baptized you and gave you power to do it. Power to live saved. We just, some people, they go to church and go to the altar. The devil don't care about you coming to the altar. He care about whether you're going to be obedient to the word of God. And when he come back to that house and find that you don't have the Holy Spirit, he got friends. They all standing out, right. Sitting out in the car waiting.
That's right. That's the word.
Yeah. They sitting out there waiting for him to say, come on, y'all. Ain't no Holy Ghost up in here. Come on, get your stuff.
Uh-huh.
Now he come back. And now he got folks living up. He got demons living up in there that's worse than he was by himself up in there. Jesus.
My God.
You see, this is serious. This is mighty serious.
Yes, it is.
When we start dealing with who we supposed to be as Christians. That's why the Bible said without the fivefold ministry, we can't come to perfection. We can't understand what holiness truly is because all of those offices and all of those gifts have to be exposed to you in order for you to be matured,
mm-hmm.
to bring you to perfection.
Wow.
So we
That's
must
right.
understand that spirits are real.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't come in your house until Adam and Eve made a decision. Didn't God say that in the day that you mess with that tree? Didn't he say that in Genesis? And everything that is evil and that was evil to man that could destroy man was on that tree. And he said in the day that you bothered that tree, that's the day that all any and all of those things can come into your existence. But right now, they are on that tree. Nothing was in man's body. Nothing. He only had his spirit, his soul in there with no contamination. That's why we as Christians got to be careful when we're dealing with souls. Because there was a mistake made by our forefathers, our parents, Adam and Eve. They disobeyed God. It caused our doors to our hearts to come open, and every demon could walk in and out your house at will until Christ came to stop it. But it took pureness, a pure sacrifice, which Christ was, to bring us back to God. Because God said, I'm not going to even visit you no more. He used to come and visit us every day. But he said, I'm not going to visit you no more. I'm done. We're not going to have no more fellowship. That's why the devil said, I'm going to God. I'm going to tell him that's my house. And when he get there, God asked you, do you believe what Christ did? I sent my son to deliver you from this demon that was in your house. Do you believe it? Because if you believe it in your heart, you're going to follow my son. And when he say, thou shalt love thy neighbor, you're going to do it. You're not just going to be words.
That's right.
See, that's what's wrong with the church today. We're too weak. We done got away from the word of God, and we off into all these philosophies. And that's what the apostles told us when they left. There's going to come a day man is not going to endure sound doctrine. He's going to desire something else. You still got to be holy today. As the saints were then, you got to be holy now. The devil is not afraid of you. If you got devils in you, all he see is his cousin. That's all he see.
That's right.
He ain't scared of heel. You could put on your white robe and stand in front of 10,000 people and say, come on out! Come on out! And that devil will walk out just because I know who you are. You ain't nobody. I'm going to come out I ain't trying to fool just you. I'm trying to fool all the people up in them stands watching you. And I know me and you just got done. We just got done smoking weed last night. And now you stand in front of all these people, and you come out, you know, and they all excited, and devil's just coming out, and people looking like they're getting delivered, and you get in front of God, God says, I don't know you, I never did know you, because I know iniquity, I know a devil when I see one. See, we got to get to that place in our experience. That's why we have to be able to go out. Pray in the spirit realm as we are called by God to come out into the spirit realm where he take us into battles with demons. That's where the war is won, in the spirit realm, in prayer. Some people don't pray no time. They live in iniquity and can cast out devils and look great.
Yep.
This making any sense, any of your daughters? Can y'all hear me?
I had a question for you, sir. This is Devon.
Go ahead,
daughter. It's a two-part question. If you've been prayed for and you've had deliverance, and say it was a specific thing, can you still have an unclean spirit of something else in you? Like Apostle was going through the list of 20 things, and one of the things that stood out to me was I think it was the first or second thing he said, which was confusion.
Okay.
And I wanted to know if it was possible for, you know, I recently went with another apostle at Apostle Hill's suggestion, and we did a lot of praying over ungodly soul ties and some other things that had been going on in my life. But that really stood out to me, and I wasn't sure if through that, had I been delivered from that confusion as well, if I didn't mention it to him, or would he have seen it as he was praying for me? That's one of the questions. And the second question is once I've been delivered, if I'm understanding you correctly, what you're saying is that we have to believe that Jesus died for our deliverance and that we have to have the Holy Spirit in us and be obedient to God's word to keep those unclean spirits from coming back to our house.
You got that the second part, you got that exactly right. We literally have to not only hear the word of God, but we have to do it. let me see if I can paint a picture in your mind. Try to take and go with me with this. Picture God in heaven, and we're just going to paint a picture if we will, okay? Picture God in heaven, and he said, I'm going to take my words out of my mouth. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I'm going to take my words out of my mouth, and I'm going to take that word and put it in a seed, and I'm going to put that seed in the angel's hand. You take it and put it in that woman's body. And when that seed be developed as a man and be born as a man, I want you all to call him Jesus, but it's still me. Are you following me there?
Somebody yes, sir.
Amen. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Now, when that seed came out as a man, it was a full man name. We call him Jesus. He said, I'm sending my word, I'm sending me, and when you all get it, it's going to be made just like y'all, because I ain't no man. I'm a spirit. But I'm going to make a man so you can relate to him. But it's still going to be me, and every word he speak is me. He is actually a word made into a man. And whatever he say, you do it. And his word is me talking. And so we are to not only hear what he say, but we have to do it. Because he said every word I speak is life. It is life. He wasn't shaken about whether Lazarus was going to get up out the grave. He knew that if I spoke it, because every word I speak is life, that is going to bring Lazarus out of the grave. So if I eat the word of God and live this word every day, morning, noon, and night, I am being transformed into the children of God. We are being transformed. Now, in that process of being transformed, he said it's being done by the renewing of the way you think. When you were a child and you didn't want somebody playing with your toy, you snatched your toys up. Give me my toys. I mean, I'm going home. I ain't playing with you no more, right? That develops, if we don't get saved over that, that develops to a grown person saying, I don't want to deal with you no more.
Yep.
It's the same spirit. It just grew up and got to be an old spirit. When you cast them demons out, when you come and get saved and God gives somebody that's got enough power to cast them spirits out of you, the Holy Ghost comes in us through obedience of the word of God. We have to obey the word. Not pick up the Bible on Sunday and don't know what to obey. We got to get in this word and start studying this word and learning what he mean when he say love everybody. Love your enemy. You know that ain't easy, to love your enemy. Somebody got a knife stabbing at me all the time. And I'm trying, he said, love them. Jesus, we do not do that. Not unless you practice that. Mm-hmm. Somebody roll their eyes at you, you don't roll them back at them. There are so many things that we do that's wrong that we don't even understand that the word of God is something that we must eat, because it is alive and it will bring life in you. And the Holy Ghost seeks that word. He comes where that word is and he baptizes that word in you. And now you have power. He said, when the Holy Ghost have come, ye shall have power to keep on doing this. Now I'm going to give you power to keep on living saved, because I'm taking you to a place of perfection. I know all always got something wrong inside of you. We got to be saints. Saints get it all out. All sin got to go out of us. Jesus came to save us from our sin, not let you keep some of them. You can't keep going to no supermarket stealing grapes. That's a thief that does that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't think nothing of that. Walk right in there and get a little handful. Keep walking. Ain't no science that steals some of these. You follow me, sister?
Yes, sir, I am.
You see what I'm saying? If we live saved and we understand what sin is and we walk out of it, we can have the Holy Spirit live in us. When the devil come to your house and knock on your door, the Holy Ghost opens the door. The devil gonna run every time. He gonna run away from your house every time. I cannot live in that house. She got the Holy Ghost. But some houses have iniquity living in it and can cast out devils. Why? Because that's the devil's way of fooling the world. All them devils live in that house, he controls them. And so it ain't nothing for him to fool the minds of people and get in front of a big old audience and holler, come on out, and folks be spitting up demons and stuff. That don't mean they're going to stay delivered. We got to go on to perfection. We got to obey this word. So when we start understanding demons and devils, we have to understand that your greatest weapon is to do the word of God. The Bible said if you resist the devil, he will flee. He's only fleeing the word that's in you. That's the only reason he's not staying there and battling with you, because your truth that you're living in chasing him away. You're going to see his back every time. A saint supposed to chase the devil away. Every time. Are you understanding that part?
Yes, sir. It's clear. Thank you.
It is. Now go back to your first part of the question.
Well, I think you answered it towards the end of your comment, but my first question was, if I've had deliverance over certain things, can there still be something left there? And you answered it.
Okay. In the book of Mark, and I think that's the fifth chapter, we look at Jesus casting out the man in the Gadarene graveyard. And this man had 2,000 demons in him. 2,000. Because they spoke out and asked Christ, can we go into those swine that we see over there? And they ran 2,000 swine down the mountain and killed them in the water. So we can have many demons in us. But if we are a sheep that God has prepared from the beginning of time, that he have put, you are going to be mine, your deliverance is going to continue until you are washed from every spirit. And the more you are washed from demons, the more you live right in God. You live it, you live it. Because he said, it's an individual thing. It's not a gang of folks. It's an individual thing. You may be the only one on your block that's going to do what God say do. You may be the only one in your city that's going to do what God say do. Because the Bible said the children of God, the world don't know them. They didn't know Christ. They are a peculiar people. We are trying to keep up with the Church Joneses, and they are not peculiar people. The Church Joneses are just like the world. I say many times that they just the world that just don't want to go back to the bar. That's what a lot of the church folks is.
You're right about that.
You know, they just bar folks.
Wow.
They're sick of the bar. We'll go over here to the church. We're going to do the same thing. Do you know
what, Apostle, you said
go ahead,
something. I just got done telling some folks that the other day. I said they treated the church like the club now. You gotta pay a cover charge to get in.
Cover charge.
and then you get a couple of entertainers, and you can
yep.
get up out there, you can dance a little bit. And
that's you right. You can
drop
it like
it's
hot.
Dressing contest. Yeah.
I got youngsters. I have youngsters that come to me and tell me, because they have respect for me as an apostle and an old man. Ed is getting kind of old. I ain't that old, but I'm getting kind of. But I always say, well, I'm closer to 70 than I am 50, so I must be getting older. So these youngsters will come. Do you know these youngsters will come to me and they'll say that I get high before I go to church.
Wow.
Now listen to that, son. I get high before I go to church. And I go and I sit in the balcony and I enjoy the music and all of that. But I'm high. And you know, we don't have, in the church world, so to speak, you don't have that, what used to be, that was delivered to the saints, where they had discernment of spirit. Them old saints could discern you. Them old mothers used to walk up to the pulpit during the service and call them whoremongers out the pulpit. They don't have that now. People walk right past the pastor, shake his hand, give him a bigger hug, and be high because he cannot discern it.
Wow. Let me get a quick announcement right quick, possible. You got three
go
minutes
ahead,
remaining. We got 3 minutes remaining. So if y'all don't want to miss the rest of this dialogue that's going forth with Apostle Witherspoon. This is a treat. Y'all want to call in. The phone number is 646-716-9487. We're going to stop streaming live in the next 2 minutes, so call in, 646-716-9487. Amen. 646-716-9487. I know we still got a few other people that's on the line that got some questions, but go ahead on, Apostle. We'll let the Lord have his way here.
Go ahead, son. Let me, I think, answer the daughter's question. You go ahead and let your questions come forward.
Okay. Anybody else on the line, y'all want to talk with Apostle Witherspoon, go ahead and feel free. Amen. All the lines are open.
Well, amen. God bless both of you, powerful men of God. This is Pastor Marion.
God bless you.
And I want to say that it's a mighty, mighty word that you're speaking, teaching, and preaching right now, because I can see that God's been giving us the same spirit, just like his word said, and that's the same message I've been preaching to them, that they up in that church playing house, they done turned it into a club.
Yeah.
So I'm so happy that, you know, you teaching and speaking and preaching that word right now. And, you know, I wanted to also say to people who, you know, don't necessarily know what they should know, or people not teaching or preaching to them all the truth, you know, because people only want to tell them that which sounds good so they can keep getting that money and membership, and people become numbers and not people, human beings.
True. That's right, daughter. That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
So I wanted to tell them, you know, when they seeing, just like when you were saying, you know, about the demon going out and the seven more coming back in because they didn't find a place of rest, and you wasn't actually who you thought you were, and you hadn't gotten everything you thought was delivered. And when they was talking to Jesus and they were saying, you know, oh, well, he have a devil in him. You know, he's doing all this work by Satan. And Jesus said, wait a minute, how can Satan cast out Satan? Satan can't cast out Satan. That don't even make any sense.
You see, he can fool you and make you think he's doing it.
Right, right.
He can fool you because, see, like the Bible said, these folks here were in iniquity casting out devils. But
right.
it was to fool the crowd.
Right.
It was just to fool the crowd. And then when they brought their report card in at the end and to be judged, God said, I don't know who you are.
Amen.
He jumped over that gate. He said, all your work that you did, and you did some. What does it say here? And they done many wonderful things. I mean, not only did they cast out devils, them folks put up old folks' homes, children homes, wayward girls places,
right.
Feed the poor. They did all of that.
Amen.
And in the end, God said, I don't even know who you are.
Amen.
He went further than that. It really made it bad. He said, I never knew you. That's a horrible line there.
Amen.
So
it's really horrible.
Keep on teaching the truth, daughter.
Amen. I wanted to say also that took me to Acts chapter 19.
Uh-huh.
Verses, I'd say that would be verses 11 through, let's see. I think it's verse 11 through 19. When they was watching Paul them cast out all the demons, and God was working many miracles through them, and then the Jews, they got all upset over there. They going to exercise what Paul them was doing and going to cast out them demons. And then them demons came right into them. They say, Jesus, we know. Paul, we know. Who are you?
but look at it a little bit further, baby.
Go ahead.
he cast him out, and it jumped him.
Yep.
But he did cast it out. He cast the spirit out, and they jumped out and jumped them.
Man.
See, that's
Amen.
A horrible thing.
It is.
If you can actually live in iniquity and cast out devils, but God know who you are.
Yes, he does. Yes,
and
he
in
does.
In the end, you don't win. I don't care how you lived on this earth. You done fooled people and got millions and billions of dollars. But in the end, eternity is too long.
Amen.
It's too long to live in the lake for this little time that we spend here in life. And he said, your life ain't no longer than a quiver's needle.
Amen.
So y'all keep on teaching the truth.
Amen. We have to.
Let the people know that you got to eat this word and live it, not just read it.
Amen.
Because after you done danced and jumped up and turned flips and hit the floor, you going to live this word?
Amen. And I have to give that self-same testimony, you know, that God gave to me and told me, you know, you can't be teaching my word and preaching my word and talking about you believe my word and then going to the club at night after you leave the church.
That's right. That's right.
That can't happen.
That can't happen.
If you really truly believe what you're looking at, you believe what it said, what did Jesus tell the lady, all those people, you know, not just one person, all those people who he healed, do you believe I can do it?
That's right.
Become what you believe. What you believe I can do.
That's right. Can you believe that I'm able to deliver you from all devils, not some, from all devils, and you actually live a purified life? Can you believe that?
Amen.
See, that's the question that he's asking us.
Amen.
Anybody else?
My God. Hey, man, I got all the lines open. Area code 989. See Prophet Hal 216. Amen. God bless you.
God bless you. I'm just here to listen.
Praise God.
Prophet Samada also on the line.
That's Prophet Samada.
Yes, Prophetess Samada on the line. I just wanted to call in and listen because I've been so blessed by what has been shared so far. I really didn't want to miss what was going on in the archives.
God bless you.
Amen.
Somebody was just before her. Who was that?
I believe that was me, George Howell, Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay, son, how you feeling tonight?
I'm doing well, sir.
That's good.
I'm blessed very much as well. Just listening to the word of God flowing out of your mouth is just a joy to hear it. It's, you know, there's something about truth that just mesmerizes you. You know what I'm saying? It just captures
Man.
You. And I appreciate
God.
The word that comes out of your mouth, sir.
Thank God.
Amen.
That's why I tell my son, Apostle Hill, I said, son, when I leave here and go be with Christ, I want you to tear the world up.
Amen.
That's why we try to teach him everything we know. We want to just load him down.
Amen.
Because we don't know how long we're going to be here.
Amen.
And the time that you spend on this earth, you got to spend it not for this time, but for the time to come.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
It's better to preach the truth and have nothing than to preach a lie and have everything.
Amen.
Because the word of God says what he wants to give us if we overcome is all things.
Yes.
My God, what is all things?
Woo-hoo. Amen.
I'm about to jump up out of my chair.
Hallelujah. Glory.
He's going to give me all things. Then I don't, you know, what is this little mess we had here on this earth? Nothing. It's all dust.
Amen.
Everything on the earth is dust. It's nothing else.
Yeah.
Because on the third day, all God did was took some dust. He made the trees, the herbs, and all the different things, the animals, and all of that. And then he stopped. He didn't do nothing else.
Amen.
And we took the dirt and made everything that we call something.
Amen.
And if you break it all back down, that's why he asked the question, what does it profit a man to gain this whole dusty ball and lose his soul? He put your soul up against the whole earth.
Amen.
is worth more to him than the whole dusty ball. It's not worth it.
My God. I believe that was Prophet Howard that just wrote that down in the chat room, too.
Go ahead, Prophet.
Amen.
Amen. It's a mighty subject. I love the subject. It really lets us understand, you know, deliverance is not just a word. It means something. It means to be released. It means to be saved, to be set free from the devil, not carry him along in your back pocket.
Amen.
Get him all out. Don't have none of him. Some people can't forgive. Some people can't forgive. I had a daughter call me just yesterday. I think she's about 19 years old. She called and she wanted to know, how do I forgive? And I told her, you know, forgive is a mighty word, but the depth of it is to erase as though it never happened.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what somebody did to you. Christ said it. If you forgive, I'll forgive you of your sins.
Amen.
But it's contingent on you forgiving first.
Amen.
Forgive everybody whatever they did to you. Forgive them.
That's a mighty powerful word.
Erase it as though it never happened. Because you want all of your sins to be erased.
Amen.
Glory, glory to God. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, God.
Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah.
Anybody else? I think we only got a few seconds. Are we done, son?
We okay for now. We're not streaming live anymore, but everything is still being recorded.
Oh, thank God.
Hallelujah.
Anybody else want to go further?
I just want to say that's a mighty powerful word you just gave and spoke. And I had to release that self-same thing. This is Pastor Marion. I had to release that self-same forgiveness. And it took me 14 years
to
let go of that demon. It took me 14 years to say no more. That's it. I won't carry this. I won't hold it. And I also had to realize what many people don't realize is that you're not just forgiving them for the sake of what they did. You're releasing yourself.
That's it, daughter. You got it. That's the revelation of it. That is.
And I had to realize that. I had to realize that self same thing. But I thank God and I praise Him and I worship Him and I bless His holy name and I shall continue to magnify Him and glorify Him and exalt and exemplify Him each and every day of my life because He showed me something so beautiful that words can't speak. He showed me something so beautiful that I know nothing in this world could pay for. I could never give Him back whatever He gave me, but I'm going to do what He put me here to do and say what He told me to say and be that vessel He wants to use.
That's right, daughter. That's right. Can I share a story with you?
Go ahead, sir.
On this forgiveness? And I want you to really dig within yourself as I give you this story.
Okay.
There was a daughter that used to come and pray with me every day. We prayed for 17 years, but she prayed with me every day at noon. She would pray, and she laid on something that she could not forgive for 5 years. She had a problem with her own mother.
Amen.
And she could not, because she was a young woman, but she went through some bad years where the mother took her child from her.
Right.
Because she was caught up in drugs and everything. And
right.
She took a hate in her heart to her mother.
Right.
And I talked for 5 years about forgiveness. Forgiveness, forgiveness. But around the fifth year is when it actually hit her understanding.
Absolutely.
And when it hit her understanding, it showed you how timely God is.
Yes.
Soon as that woman, she hollered out in the service, she had understood. Son, can you turn that music down some, son? Apostle Hill?
Yes.
Can you turn that music down some?
Yes, sir.
On my end, it's kind of loud. And when she, on the day that she understood that word of forgiveness, because we dug down into it deep, and she literally had to come to the knowledge of, I must erase this thing. She had two other children that her mother never saw. She would hide them. Picture that. This child got a child 8 or 9 years old and another one that's 2 or 3, and she would never let her mother see those children because of the hate she had in her heart.
Amen.
And the day that she understood the lesson on deliverance, she cried out in the service. She came to the altar, repented, and she asked me, would I go to see her mother with her because she had heard her mother was sick in the hospital.
Amen.
And I said, sure, I'll go with you. She said, I want to go and confess to my mother forgiveness.
Amen.
And I went with her. And when we got there, her mother was sitting up in the bed. She was not, you know, comatose or anything. And she literally went to her mother and asked her mother forgiveness. She confessed that she had hated her mother. She just poured it out. And do you know, the day after she did that, she went back to her mother. She combed her hair. She trimmed her toenails. She just did all the things that she could think of because she was now bringing forth the fruit of forgiveness.
Amen.
And her mother was in a talking position for another 3 days, and then all of a sudden she went down. She went into a coma. She never did repent back to her daughter. But she went into a coma, never did come out. She died 1 month later.
Wow.
Amen.
And that daughter freed her soul. God was so merciful, he let that girl go 1 month.
Hello.
1 month before her mother died.
Amen.
She didn't know that 6 or 7 years later, no, I think it was 10 years later, she passed.
Okay. Amen.
But just think, she was carrying that hate all those years, and she laid up and prayed every day. You could hear her ringing out in that prayer, but yet she was praying in iniquity.
Amen.
Hate is not worth it. Get rid of it. The only thing that people have to understand about hatred, or people have to understand about what another person do to them, is sin is in our world and in our lives, and it is sin that is in us that cause the other person hurt and harm.
Amen.
If you deliver any man, he'll holler hallelujah and stop sinning.
Amen.
That's why Christ said, if you forgive him for whatever he did, yeah, he cut your leg off. Yeah, you got one leg. You walk around with one leg, and they cut it off. He said, forgive him as though. Forgiveness means it never happened.
Amen.
Because
I want to thank you for that word.
Yeah, God said this. I made that body out of dust.
Amen.
And you got a hate for that person over dust.
Amen.
God said you're still getting around. The whole thing is about saving your soul. You might not get in there with two legs.
Amen.
So I want you to take that and just go all the way in the depth of your soul and forgive.
And I did. And what I also took from that, because you basically spoke my life to me through her. God is so good like that. Because I'm going to tell you something now. I walked around with that hate the same as she did. And mine stemmed from that whole 14-year process. I walked around with that hate. But, you know, I still loved her. I still did whatever I could do for her. You know, whenever she would ask me for anything, I would give. Because deep down, I really, truly did love her. But I did hate her in the same.
But now watch. You have to be careful when you use words. Love, has no hate in it.
Truly.
So what you just said was, I loved her, but I hated her. You said it in the same phrase.
Right.
No, your understanding has to come to, I hated her, but I would do for her.
Absolutely.
Because love casts out hate. If you loved her, you would not have hated her.
True enough.
So you did, you actually, yeah, you would do for her in hate. And now God
Absolutely.
Has delivered you from that hatred.
He did. He delivered me. He really did.
Now you can go on to perfection, see.
He did, and I have since then.
Yes. And now we're going on toward perfection. That's where we're going. He said, any man that have this hope, that when I see Christ, I want to be just like him.
Amen.
He purifies himself. He don't keep practicing sin. He get away from sin, away from sin, away from sin. He purifies himself.
Amen.
People are afraid to speak. You know, they do you sin at all? You know how they put it to you.
Yeah, I do.
Do you think you still sin? You know how people ask you that question.
Right.
We have got to learn how to live who we are. Christians don't practice sin. You
Amen.
Can tell people flat out, I don't practice sin. I practice purification.
Amen.
That's a daily process of cleansing us, myself from any evil. Because when he comes, he's going to be Christ, who he is, and we got to be just like him.
Like him. Amen.
Right,
Amen. Apostle Witherspoon, I have a question on that note.
Yes,
we're doing the daily walk of purification, and I'm asking this because I've had a lot of people in discussions about not unforgiveness towards someone else, but within you for something that you've done. It's really been discussed quite a bit in a group that I'm in. And is that the response that I would give to them? I'm kind of leery to even give one because I've struggled with that as well. It's not so much that I hate myself, but I'm in a place where I've done something that has damaged a very important relationship to me, and
okay.
I can't, for lack of a better word, forgive myself. I've forgiven that person with ease. That's not my issue, forgiving other people. It's always been a struggle for me when I make mistakes to forgive myself and to move on.
Uh-huh. You know, a lot of people find that a problem to forgive themselves. Now, if you would go with me, we have time, son?
Yeah.
If you would go with me to the book of Ezekiel. You know, this is a problem that people have all over the world because they kill somebody, because they dismembered somebody, because they have done all sorts of evil. They cannot forgive themselves. And this is a struggle people have all over the world.
Amen.
And inside of the church. And
Amen.
Now we're gonna go and we're gonna deliver you today. This
Ooh.
Is what my son's subject is, deliverance, and we're gonna deliver you tonight. And then you're gonna take this back to the church and you're gonna deliver a lot of people.
Praise God.
Ezekiel 33:10. I want you to read that, not fast but slow.
Amen. I needed that too, so praise God for it.
Yeah, we're gonna deliver you tonight and give you power to go back and knock the devil in his head.
Amen. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel.
Go tell the people of God. Go ahead.
Okay. Thus ye speak, saying, if our transgression and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live?
How do we call ourselves children of God, and we walking around with sin in us, and it's pining away in us? And we know it, but the people don't know it, because I come in with a smile, and I'm the pastor, or I'm the deacon, or somebody, and I come in, and I'm the choir director, and I come in all the time smiling. You just think I'm just having a wonderful time. But within me, I know that I'm pining away in some junk.
Amen.
What'd he say?
how should we then live?
How is it that you call yourself a live Christian? You can't be.
Amen.
But God knows. The fellow sitting next to me on the pew don't know it, but God knows. What'd he say?
Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked.
God said, you don't know how long you're going to be on this earth. And you carrying this stuff around in your heart and in your life. And I don't have no pleasure at all when you die. And you die in sin and you've been in church all the time. God said, God said, I don't even get no pleasure out of it.
Amen.
Go ahead.
Turn ye from your evil ways.
Now, here's deliverance. Turn. Turn who? Ye. And then he called it what it was. Turn you from that evil mess. I'm not talking to you per se. I'm saying this in general. Turn ye from those evil thoughts, those evil ways. Turn from them and turn to the Word. That's the only place you can turn to. And what do you say?
For why will ye die, O house of Israel?
Why? Why would you live in death, go to church all them years, and then when you confront me, I got to throw you in the lake? Why?
Wow.
It don't make no sense. What did he say?
Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression.
Stop right there. Here's a righteous person, been righteous 50 years. What did the word say? The righteousness that they've been living shall not deliver them in the day that they sin.
Amen.
Don't you see how we got to get out of sin, not tell people we can't live in this world without sin? That ain't what the Bible tells us.
Amen.
The Bible said if the word of God remain in you, you cannot sin.
Amen.
We got to get to that place. But it says here, if the righteousness of the righteous, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver them in the day of their transgression. That person been saved all those years and he get wrong, go out and buy that lottery and all that stuff, or some old evil mess, and then he hide, he thinks his righteousness still going to save him. God said, I know what's going on. Maybe the person sitting on the pew next to you don't, but I know.
Amen.
I got a record of it right here in heaven.
Wow.
What'd he say?
As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness.
Look at your deliverance right there, baby. You see that wicked? The wickedness that any of us have done. He said, you shall not be judged for that wickedness in the day that you turn from it. Now, if God said that, how come I can't forgive me and God said, I forgive you?
Amen.
You see deliverance in that?
Oh, yes.
All you got to do is tell that devil, get going. Every time the thought comes that I got to remember that, I don't have to even remember that. God said, I know your thoughts before you get them. As soon as they hit your consciousness, I'm going to see what you do with it.
Amen.
The Bible said, refuse that rascal, and he will flee.
That's right.
All you got to do is just refuse his thought. And he'll bring mess back to your mind. Say, no, I'm not thinking that. And I tell you what, anytime the devil's trying to make your mind be a pressure, go to praying.
Amen.
He don't like prayer. He don't like prayer.
Oh, no.
You feel him easing out the door then.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Go to calling on Jesus. I guarantee you feel him leave.
My God.
What'd he say? Read that.
Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. Amen.
See, the righteous person, in the day that they sin, they cannot live no more for all that righteousness they thought they did. And the sinner, the day he turned and refused any more sin, God said, I won't remember your sins no more. What did he say? Read it.
When I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trusts to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered.
Wait a minute, baby. You didn't say all, did you?
Yes, all his righteousness shall not
be remembered. See, we got to dissect that part. You reading out the Bible or almanac? What you reading out of?
I'm reading out the Bible, King James.
And it says all?
All.
All his righteousness shall not even be remembered. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. It says all. I'm reading it too. It says all.
That's horrible. Listen to that. All, everything that I did righteous is gone?
Gone.
Oh, Jesus. This thing pretty tight in the
dark. Same day.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
That, I'm talking about right then, God said, you think you're going to get away with sin, you're not, because I'm a holy God. I don't have no sin at all, and that's why I sent my son, so I can have a world of peculiar people walking on the earth, people not understand them because they don't walk in sin.
Amen.
In the day that you sin, all your righteousness is going out the door.
Amen.
What did he say?
But for his iniquity that he has committed, he shall die for it.
You see that? He done stopped talking to you altogether about righteousness. Now he's talking to you only about the sin that you done committed. And
Amen.
He said, now your soul go right back to death. Whew, Jesus.
My God.
Read it. What did he say?
Again, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die if he turns from his sin and do that which is lawful and right.
You see, he's telling the wicked now, I know you're in sin, I know you're walking in it, but if you turn, it's under condition, if you turn in the day that you turn away from your sins and start doing that which is lawful and right, what'd he say?
He will turn.
In the 15th verse?
Okay. If the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life. Without committing iniquity, he shall surely live.
No, commit iniquity when he get ready to.
Amen.
He said, without that spirit of iniquity in us, without it. He preaches his teaching today. A weak message that it's all right to sin, we have an advocate and all that. No, go further than that. Tell the people, get out of sin, run as far as you can away from it. Every day live holy.
Amen.
What'd he say?
He shall surely live, he shall not die.
And he shall not die. And?
None of his sins that he has committed shall be mentioned unto him. He has done that which is lawful and right. He shall surely live.
You see what he said? I'm not going to talk to you about them sins. I'm not going to remember those sins. I'm not going to even have anything to do with none more of those sins that you once had that you done turned from. Now, if I can do that, how come you can't?
Amen.
I can feel that, baby. I can feel you being delivered right now. God said, if I can forgive you for all your sins and not even mention them to you, how come you can't? I'm greater than you. Never again. Never again, darling, take them sins with you in life. Never.
Amen.
Get rid of them tonight. And then when you go back to that class, read this to them.
Yes, Lord.
And then get out the way, because they might fall all over you. The power of God, the power of God's word will knock you off your feet.
Yes, it will.
My God. My God. That's awesome.
Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah. That's
glory.
Awesome.
He wants you to be loose and free in him, not carrying nothing. If I said, God, forgive me, and I meant that, and I'm not going back to that, I'm not remembering that just like God ain't. So when the devil bring it to you, when the devil bring it to your mind, rebuke it. Don't even dwell on it. Don't even think on it. After a while, he's going to stop bringing that thing to you because he can't win the battle over that.
Yes, Yes, he is. I'm a living testimony. Yes, he is.
Yeah. Because he's sure going to bring it.
Ooh, he's going to bring it like a fire.
If you refuse him every time after a while, he's going to stop bringing it because I cannot win over her on this no more.
Ooh, yes, he is.
Some word or something that delivered her. She ain't scared of me no more on that.
Amen.
See, that's what we call a left hook. You take the devil, give him a left hook and a body slam. Don't play with that rascal. He don't like
you at all.
He don't like you none, so don't play with him. Soon you see him coming, hit him upside the head with a chair.
Amen.
My God.
When you fight the devil, don't even fight fair. Because
he Amen. Amen.
Yeah. You got to hate him.
Yes,
Lord. Think about it.
You
got
to hate him.
Amen.
Ain't that word something?
Yes, it is. Thank you, Lord.
If you forgive everybody for any and everything they have done, and you put that thing in God's hands, and God said, "All right, I forgive you, darling. Don't think on it no more. Don't even when you go see that person, you treat him and that or her better than they treat you."
Amen.
That shows that the fruit of deliverance is coming in you.
Amen. That's a mighty word.
You cannot touch me with what it was because I got rid of it.
Yes, Lord.
See, years ago, I'll give you a testimony. I got a precious wife. And years ago, when I first met her, we were 19 years old. We were young. The first year I met her, I got mad at her for something that happened, and I carried that thing until I was almost 40 years old, and we got married and had children and everything.
Wow.
And I was just praying, oh, God, save me, Jesus. Take it all out, Lord. You know how we do. We could praise your name.
Amen.
Wash me. We were gone.
One day
God tapped me on my shoulder and said, "Hey, son." He said, "You know you hate your wife." I said, "Huh?"
Wow.
Yeah. In the depth of the holler, oh Jesus. Way up there somewhere he stopped me, right up in there all that hollering. Said, "Shut that mess up, I'm gonna talk to you."
Man.
he said, "You know you hate your wife." I said, "No, I don't hate my wife." He said, "Yes you do." And he showed me that every time she would come around I'd have an attitude.
Amen.
Wow.
And he showed me, he said, "You down here praying, want me to wash you and cleanse your heart and everything." He said, "But you searching for the trouble that you have in your marriage, all up in the leaves of the tree that grew up, your marriage tree, try to picture it as a tree. And you all up in the leaves trying to find out what the problems are." And he said, "The problem is under the root."
Amen.
He said, "You brought something into your marriage that happened before you even married your wife." I was like a dummy laying there, you know. That prayer got real quiet. See, we prayed over junk.
Amen.
He said, "You had a problem." When he took me all the way back to when I was 19 years old. I'm 44, maybe. I don't know what the age was at the time. But he took my mind back to when I was 19. He said, "You see here, this happened, and hate went in your heart, and you brought it all the way down here."
Amen.
He said, "And you searching for the reason you get funny feelings around this person, and I'm gonna show it to you." And when he showed it to me, he said, "Now hand it to me." I said, "Take it, Lord, take it." He said, "No, you reach and get it and hand it to me."
Amen.
Wow.
He said, "You take it out of your own heart and give it to me."
Apostle,
that means, go ahead, darling.
You, that's what I have unforgiveness about. I brought something into my marriage with my husband that had nothing to do with him. And I couldn't forgive myself. And it has been a rough 10 years, and he has finally said enough. And I know, I mean, he's done some things that are wrong, but it was me that made him do these things. I caused him to sin.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You just really touched on it, and that was what I was struggling with, the unforgiveness with myself for. He's forgiven me. He doesn't trust me. He really don't want to come back. He hasn't filed for a divorce, but I couldn't forgive myself because I hurt him for something that had nothing to do with him.
Yeah. And you see, but you never even told him, you never shared that with him, that there was something that hurt you in life that you never forgave. Now, watch this. It's a twofold problem here. You never forgave that situation that hurt you, and then you brought it into your marriage, and it caused your marriage to fall because you was carrying it. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
Now, the Lord has given you the word of deliverance. And he's saying the only reason you would continue to carry it is you don't believe my word.
Mm.
You would have to, if it's done properly, you will properly bring your husband into either a council. I'll be glad to counsel you all if you want me to. My son, he'll be glad to counsel you if you want him to. You have to be brought into a place to where you properly bring to him the situation. He may not even know what's wrong with you. What is wrong with you, woman?
Two things, Apostle. He won't talk to me, and he's living with another woman now.
I did that. I left. I was gone. I was living with somebody else. But you know what? There was some saints praying.
Amen.
When I couldn't pray for myself, there were some saints praying for me.
Amen.
And they prayed me out of that place, back to my house, back to my wife. We walked back down the aisle and got rid of all of that hatred and stuff. And now we watched our kids grow up. And God has completely given us honor, because I had lost all my honor back then. God has given
Amen.
Us precious honor again in the eyes of men and himself. You see, it's not over. The devil says it's over.
Amen.
But there's a chance that you can do the right thing if God allow it.
You keep touching on things and confirming things that God just said to me last night. And my husband asked me for a divorce, but I know he loves me and he said that, but it's a shame. He doesn't think that, you know, the loss of the honor is where you're going. But he's not listening to me, so I can't say this to him. All I can
right.
do. Not all.
Right.
I don't mean it to be so simple, but I'm praying.
You cannot. You see, whenever there is a breaking up of a marriage of any type, you become Muhammad Ali and the partner becomes Joe Frazier.
Yeah.
And you become, both of y'all get in a ring, and you neither one of y'all, when the bell rings, can go out in the middle of the ring and say, wait a minute, I want to talk.
Right.
When the bell ring, that means fight.
Amen.
That means duck, run, do anything you can, keep me from whooping your behind. That's what that means. So there will never be a time where you can actually talk to him without proper counseling and someone that's able to bring that back together.
Amen.
You see, you have to be, you cannot do it and he can't do it, because what has to happen is you got to find out whether he would accept your forgiveness. Would he accept your repentance? You may have to ask if there's any way possible, could we have a counsel? You may, if there's any way possible to ask that question, ask it.
He will not. I have tried. He will not do it. All he does when he calls me is talk about money, and that is it. He will hang up on me.
Well,
way he ends it is, I love you, goodbye, and he hangs up.
Well, try it anyway. Ask. Sometimes you have not because you ask not.
Okay.
There's only one answer you want, and that is it any way possible we could have a counsel about our relationship? Is it any way possible? He might tell you yeah. He might tell you no. But you need to know. Because if he's not going to ever come back to you, if God is not going to bring him back or whatever it is, you got to move on.
Right.
Because you already got the weight of what before him and then with him and now after him. All that's on you. You got to get rid of all that.
Amen.
It's a weight on you. That'll make you ill. It'll stunt your growth. It'll stop your ministry. It'll do all of that. Because God is like this. I don't work in no junk at all. I'm God. Amen. The first thing I want you to do is clean up you. I want to clean you up first, and then you can help others. So you can work through my son, Apostle Hill. You know, you have all of get his numbers and everything. If any way possible that you all would have a consul, I'd be glad to come. I have done that many times. I've traveled around the country and helped preachers and their wives and just lay members and their wives and husbands with their marriages. God has given me a very unique way of counseling people in that area. So you have to find out whether you're going to move on or not, because right now, as long as your marriage is out of place, your ministry has stumpness in it. We come from people that wouldn't let you preach no message if you ain't with your husband or your wife.
Amen.
You're going to get that straight first. Because what do you have? What message do you have without your life straight first? And you don't want to be in iniquity. Now, y'all just have to help me, because I come from folks that whooped our behinds every day. they didn't let us get away with nothing. So that's who your dad is now. I ain't letting you get away with nothing.
Amen.
I want you to come to a place. I want you to come to a place where you understand. You want all of God's grace working in your life, all of it. And the only way that's going to happen is God has to see us as his children. What manner of love is this that you have bestowed upon us that you share? You call us the sons of God in 2009. That's daughters too.
Amen.
I want a devil, when I tell that devil to come out, I want him to come out, not look at me like I'm crazy.
Amen.
Only way that's going to happen is we got to walk in him and not beside him. We got to walk in him. He got to walk in us.
Nice. Yes.
Because devils ain't scared of nothing but the Holy Ghost. They ain't scared of
Amen.
Nothing. And so you think about what I said to you. You keep up with my son. He'll call me. He'll let me know.
Okay. Thank you.
If you all want me to come and help you, you let me know. We'll work out something, some kind of way.
I want to give you this right now. You helped me tremendously tonight. So,
thank
you know,
God.
I want you to know that God did a powerful work in you. You
thank
know, to help
God.
Me with something that I was dealing with, and he told you exactly what to tell me, so I'm just
thank
happy.
God.
You know, I'm walking in love, and I receive everything. I accept it all. I believe it all, and, you know, I'm going to do exactly what I know he was telling me to do while you were speaking to me. Because, see, he was telling me to do something while I was listening.
Yeah, because we could go further now.
Amen. You know, I mean, he had already worked out that with me, except for that one little thing that was still holding on that I had not yet got. And actually, he gave the word to me, but I didn't understand who he was giving it to me for.
I understand, yeah.
So I went and I told that one person, I said, hey, you know, this is what happened, and I got to tell you this because this is how it went, but not yet still seeing that he was telling me that for my mother as well.
Yes. Don't you know what the Bible said? Your greatest battle is going to be in your own house.
Amen. Amen.
Your greatest foe are your loved ones.
Amen.
Sometimes we get mad at them. We get mad at them. I don't want to talk to you no more on this side of the grave.
Amen. Yes, Lord. And that's why, you know, when you were speaking to me and you were telling me about the young woman and her mother and how she took the kids from her, and, you know, my situation wasn't exactly like that. You know, I wasn't on no drugs, but I did get my children taken away from me by my mother.
Sure,
and
sure.
That did cause me to go back to hating her.
That's
right. So, you know, you did speak that truth to me.
I haven't seen you not one day on this side.
Glory be to God. Glory be to God.
That had to be God. That had
to be God.
It was.
It was.
He give us gifts of discernment.
Yes, he does.
And it's not something, see, that's why we can't put any kind of accolade on ourselves because
Amen.
It is not yours. God gave it to you to work with.
Right.
He gave us gifts to bring the church to perfection. And some about Amen. You daughters, and some about you daughters, the reason you all are here tonight.
Amen.
And the son that spoke is because God is speaking directly to you.
Yes.
You could have been somewhere else tonight. And my son didn't have to bring up this message, but God gave him, I want you to have a message on deliverance. He called my phone. I said, I haven't been on air with my son in a while. I've been so busy traveling, what have you. I said, tonight, I'm going to get on there tonight. Who knew that God had you there, you daughters there, you sons there, because he had deliverance for you. See, if the message of deliverance didn't have any fruit in it, God wouldn't have given it to him to bring.
Amen.
But he brought a message of deliverance that actually is bringing deliverance.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Life has to come out of the word. And if it don't, we're just dead folks walking around in iniquity. That's all.
Amen. Yes. Absolutely. And I want to thank you, and I want to thank him, you know, for being vessels and letting God use you and lead you to give me that word that I didn't need to hear, and now I see the thing that I need to correct. And also, you also gave me a second word that you don't know you gave. You not only gave it to her, for her, the young lady, you gave it to me as well for something that I need to take care of. And it's not necessarily concerning me, but I needed to know where to go to do what I need to do. Now I see what he's telling me.
That's right. You know, I often stress this part. There are not many elder people left on this earth in our midst, let's say. We have got to acknowledge the elders that are left in our midst because
Amen.
If God has given them old-time holiness and look like love is leaving the earth in a hurry, we have got to acknowledge and we have got to hold on to old-time doctrine, old-time holiness. Because there's so much new junk that's being preached. God ain't going to change. He ain't going to change yesterday, today, and forever. He will never change.
Amen. Yes,
that
Lord.
Word, you're going to have to be holy, period.
Amen.
It's just that hard. Holiness will not change. We're going to have to love everybody.
Everybody, yes, Lord.
Not. I don't care what you did to me. I'm going to have to learn how to forgive you when I come into that knowledge. I got to use that because it is power of deliverance.
Yes.
So your message is only what you live.
Amen, yes.
It's only what you live. If you don't live in deliverance, don't try to preach that.
Amen. Yes.
If you receive deliverance tonight, y'all going to tear somebody's church up.
Ooh. What'd you say? I'm putting together a conference right now. and I see that that's what he needed me to hear, that right there, so that I could take it. And also, you know, when you spoke to me, because I can say that, you know, when I said to you about the love and the hate, that's something that I had not yet still seen for what it was.
That's right.
So I praise God and I glorify and I magnify him and I thank you so much for bringing that to me because it was said to me before, but I didn't see it for what it was. So I thank him for it.
it goes into a depth. That's why God allowed me to go through it in a period of my life. And he gave me some great messages during that period of time until my home was totally broke up, totally. And the saints prayed, and God brought me back out of the world. He brought me back into the church. He put me back on my face. He rebuilt my honor. And today, this is the very woman that I had a problem in my life, we had problems in our lives, is my greatest backer.
Yes.
My wife, she's my greatest backer.
Amen.
Yes.
But we have gone through a period of time when it was horrid.
Yes.
That's why I don't care how bad a marriage situation is. It ain't over until God said it is.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Listen, I was so far away from my marriage until I would spell it.
Amen.
I said I'm so through with that until I spell it.
Yes, Lord.
And
wow.
God said no, that ain't so, because it's the prayers of the righteous that I'm listening to. I ain't listening to you
at right.
all.
That's right. Amen.
And we had a great church mother. Her name was Mother Estella Boyd. She was a great woman. And she had a prayer that touched heaven every time she rung the phone.
Amen.
God, Jesus picked that phone up and answered her prayers.
Amen.
And pulled me back out of that world.
Amen.
Cleaned me back up, put me back with my family.
Yes, Lord.
And now, because he told me a long time ago, you got to preach the whole Bible, not part of it. When you get to heaven, you got to be able to keep on going. You can't stop there and jump across it and go to preaching about something else. So,
he
made that word true. He made it true in my life.
I'm so happy you said that, because that's what God told me. He sent me to tear it up and to speak all the truth and everything they don't want to hear. And everybody walk around with their itchy ears. But I ain't come here for you. I can't come here for me. I came to do what Jesus said he came to do, be about my Father's business. That's it.
See, the whole thing is when we teach it, we got to teach it from the mercy of God. That's like Paul was saying over in, Romans. He said, I beg you. I beseech you by the mercies of God. In other words, Paul was looking at what God did for him.
Amen.
He said, I used to kill the saints.
Yes.
I used to have them put to death.
Oh, yes. Then of whom I am chief.
And God had mercy on me. He said, I'm begging you, get your body up. Give it up.
Amen.
Right.
Give your body to God. Don't hold on to no part of it. He said, I'm begging you. But he wasn't doing like some of us. We'll take a stick and brush upside your head with that.
Ooh, what you say?
We got to preach it from the mercy part, from the mercy place. And
my
then that life will go into people.
Amen.
And it'll raise them up. Jesus only spoke. He allowed us to understand Lazarus because all the folks sitting on your pews every Sunday are a bunch of Lazaruses.
Yes.
That you have to raise up from the grave.
Yes, I understood that myself. He gave me that zombie concept to be able to understand that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Apostle,
we have to understand. Go ahead.
Yes.
I want to tell you, thank you for sharing Apostle Witherspoon with us.
Thank you,
man.
He has been such a blessing. Apostle Witherspoon, I have been struggling with this thing for almost a year and a half now, and I've been told that there's restoration in my marriage, but I was so busy focusing on the promise that I wasn't dealing with the root. And then when I did figure out the root, I was holding in that unforgiveness for myself. Now, I forgave for the past that I brought to the marriage. I let that go. That is gone. But I was still holding on to the hurt that I caused my husband. And today, I tell you, I feel like a new creature. I have not felt this much peace. I would have like a little moment here. I'm gonna believe God. But right now, I feel restored as an individual.
You see what his message?
God.
You see the message that my son had is deliverance. That's the message.
Yes, he did. He did. He did. And I kept saying, I've already gone through prayer and deliverance just late December. I don't know if this message is for me. If my flesh was like, just hang up and watch the football game. You know you want to see the game. But my spirit man wouldn't allow me to. And then my fleshly man didn't want me to ask you those questions. I mean, I battled. I was so happy when my sister asked her question because that, I thought, got me off the hook. But, you know, it didn't. So I thank God for you. And I
hear
just want to say thank
you. You can actually go further and see what you can do about it. But you got to humble down now and ask God to allow his ears to come open.
Amen.
We're gonna be praying with you. Now, is he a preacher?
Ooh, what you say?
Happened?
I just did that before we got there.
He's not a minister. My husband's name is Keith, and here's my time is of the essence issue in his mind. He is getting ready to leave for Afghanistan in May of this year, and he feels that he needs to have all legal work taken care of, so he wants to get the divorce out of the way. And then he, that's what he said last night, and then before he hung up, he said, I don't know. I don't know what I want. You just got to let me think on this. You just got to let me pray about this. And my mom said, you can't, your prayer's not being answered because of what you're doing. But I didn't say that to him, but
right.
he's so double-minded right now, and I see it. He's very double-minded right now.
You see, here's what you got to look at now, baby. I don't mean no harm, okay?
Okay.
His prayers and your prayers weren't being heard.
Exactly. You're so right.
And that's why it couldn't come out your mouth.
Right.
And what you are doing now is you're confessing with your mouth that you have
yes.
been wrong. You've been wrong
yes.
down through the years, and it's a little bit coming out a little bit at a time, but now that you're starting to see, I carried this thing in my heart and brought it into my marriage, and it hit my husband's heart. And now I'm asking God, and it must be, I believe you are one of God's daughters for him to bring this message to you.
Amen.
See, I always think about this. When Jesus left here, he left five offices in place. And the only office that was had live men in it was the apostles.
Amen.
Amen.
And God took the apostles and he told them, go preach out what's going to be called the church and the body of Christ. And so now we're looking at, you are blessed women and men that are on this call because God is allowing his first office to minister to you.
Amen.
Amen.
And we think something of that. The office that God has put us in, we think a lot of that. I've been in no church all my life. I come out of the world.
Amen.
way out there in the world so far till God let me look up in the hill one time. I said, oh, no.
Ooh, what'd you say?
That ain't where I want to go.
Ooh, and that's why I'm so ready to tell it all the time. don't think more of me than I am. I'm just doing my job here. This is a job.
Right.
I'm doing the job. Don't think more of me than I really truly am. Don't glorify me. Don't honor me. Don't praise me. Don't worship me. Because God said he ain't going to share it. You give it to him. It ain't for
that's
me.
Right. Just give me what God want me to have, and that's all.
Amen. Amen. That's all I want. I don't want nothing more.
That's right. It don't belong to a man. All glory go to God.
Whew,
we just if we are walking in the places that he put us in, we will carry life.
Yes.
That's why Paul and them spoke of carrying the gospel.
Amen.
It is the power of God. It's the deliverance of God.
Yes, it is.
We just speak in his word, but if the Holy Ghost is in us speaking, life comes out of that word. But
yes,
if the Holy Ghost is not in us and we speak in that word, it's just dead words.
Dead words. Yes,
and
Lord.
And the people stay dead sitting on the pews because the preacher don't have life in him.
Amen. Woo, what you say.
So we are witnessing this word coming alive.
Life.
And it's encouraging me to keep running.
Ooh, what you say? I'm going to tell you something. God told me that this year of 2009 is the year of the restoration, which comes from the deliverance that you're now teaching and preaching right now. It's the year of reconciliation, and it's the year of confirmation and all three things you did tonight.
Hey, son.
That's good.
Do you think you think you and I could go down there and be in revival with them?
I've been trying to get a work started down there in Atlanta for a while now.
Oh,
and,
Lord.
Yeah, we thought we had an apostle down there, and I'm not sure if, you know, which direction he still want to go in. But
well, actually, I'm in Miami.
Miami?
Yeah, I'm in Miami, Florida.
We can come down there and help you, too. That's what we're supposed to do.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
Y'all set up something and invite us to come and preach to your people.
Well, I will. It's going to be, I think I done set the date correct now. It's going to be March the 20th and the 21st, which is a Friday and a Saturday. And he told me he was going to send me the rest of the people and he'd give me everything I needed. And you just confirmed everything tonight. So.
Amen.
Go ahead, Doc. Go ahead.
I'm just going to keep thanking them and praising them. And, you know, this is a number that you guys can reach me on, and I'll be in contact also in the Blog Talk Radio. And I know that this is why he brought you to me to put that in my email for me to come listen to the show tonight, because you came to me. Okay,
right.
You said get on here and listen to us tonight and call in, and I said okay, after my show that I just did, which was almost everything you were just teaching, almost, I came right from that, and I said, oh, okay, I remember they said come on over and call in, so I'm going to come on over, listen in, and call in.
That's right.
Amen.
And that's what I did. I, you know, I'm always obedient. Whatever he tell me to do, even when I didn't live the right life, whatever he told me to do, I always obeyed.
You see, you don't know what God is going to do when he do a thing. If
Amen.
If we are obedient to it.
Yes, Lord.
Then we see his glory.
Yes, Lord.
We see